There's still a hum from, I don't know if it's our air conditioner or one of the neighbors,
Yeah.
but like the actual unit is upstairs from here. But it's vibrating the walls and stuff.
It's all right. Get that through the whole podcast. Give me like one of those subliminal things that like potentially drives somebody insane and they don't understand why.
Or just I'll run a noise filter over it and
Or you, yeah,
kind of
we could
scrub it
just
out.
run a noise filter, I guess, if you want to not have all the fun in the world.
What the f*** is going on down there?
We got us a symmetrical episode this week, 363 of WTF at TFW. I'm joined by Seth Buzzard.
Hey, isn't that the name of the Microsoft studio that took over Halo?
I thought it was 343.
Is it 343? Oh, okay.
I think it's 363 is a way cooler one that's coming next generation.
Oh, yeah.
That's when they upgraded the middle number.
Xbox 2.
Yeah. The Xbox 260.
Man, that's what they call it now.
I want to be the fly on the wall of the messed up meeting that results in that number.
Actually, a lot of people seem to think that this is going to be the last console generation.
So I hear.
I don't necessarily buy it, but we'll see.
I don't know if it's going to... The way I always think about it is I don't know if it's going to be another console generation, but I'm sure there will be another hardware generation of a proprietary sort, is the way I'm thinking about it.
All Steam boxes all the time.
Yep. Half-Life 3 someday, once the whole world is networked, that's going to be the supercomputer that codes Half-Life 3. Seth, BotCon happened, and
yeah, it did.
The BotCon weekend had like a Tokyo Toy Show reveal and a Victorian reveal, and then there were BotCon reveals. Me and Aaron and TJ went through all this like bit by bit, just picking our way through with scalpels and stuff because there were three people. I've talked about this now three times with people, so Seth, I just want to leave it up to you. Of all this news that came out of all these toys that are showing up shortly before we potentially get more shown at San Diego next week, let's do some BotCon weekend catch-up.
Okay.
And I think you should take the lead because, don't just talk about what you want to talk about.
Yeah, so what I did was I went back through the front page to where a lot of this stuff was getting thrown up. So I'm just going to kind of scroll down the front page.
Sounds good.
Stories that just the kind of like it was like a couple weeks ago now. I can't remember everything all the time. So I'm just going to use these front page stories to refresh my memory. And if I miss anything like that you think I shouldn't have missed, then you could be like, what about that thing? And I'll go, I don't know.
Some pertinent bot shots news.
I'm going to start with probably the biggest story of the weekend, the thing that everyone was bugging and going completely bananas about. Was a Skylynx.
Yeah.
That's rad.
And he's physical. He exists. He's not just like a CAD design.
Yeah. No, he looks nuts too.
Yeah.
like they took this crazy idea and made it crazier. And I love the gold like Lynx head as being the combiner head.
Yep.
It's so goofy. And then like the deluxes that they showed with them. There's some cool stuff in there. Being like combiner versions of not traditionally combiner characters is a little less exciting in a way, but a lot of them are cool characters. Like Hound, I think, came out pretty cool.
Yeah.
Hound looks pretty neat. Smokescreen, I'm kind of eh. The remodeling bits that they did for Wheeljack, really make his car mode look like old school Wheeljack.
Yeah.
I'm really impressed with Wheeljack's car mode. He looks like super blocky square man in robot mode though. And then they're actually calling Trailbreaker Trailbreaker?
Yeah, I think they've had the name for the last year or so, but like they got the name right after the deluxe one had come out with the comic book pack in.
Uh-huh.
So I think they've had the name, but then they didn't have toys called Trailbreaker unless there was like a Creo. So yeah, it's weird full circle stuff going on here.
Yeah, and the Smokescreen looks okay. Not really blowing me away, but he's fine.
Yeah.
Then the Legends. The Legends.
Yes.
We've seen and talked about Rodimus for a while. Skywarp is just that.
Yeah.
Chop Shop is another repaint.
New head.
A little bit of retooling. Yeah, a little bit of retooling. Yeah. Pipes is terrible.
Pipes is so sad.
Pipes is terrible in the same way Huffer was terrible. Huffer and Pipes need to be shown some respect, Hasbro.
Pipes is worse.
Stop just selling them out.
Like, Pipes, number one, Pipes is just Huffer. And two, he's barely even Pipes. He just happens to be blue. He has a red face and white eyes.
No, it's... They gotta treat these characters with dignity and respect, and they ain't doing it. Hashtag give Huffer and Pipes a chance. Buzzsaw is weird.
Yeah, I've had discussions with people about Buzzsaw. I think Buzzsaw would have been even weirder if that Titan Wars art hadn't accidentally been at the Hasbro booth that weekend.
I can't come to like final terms with it. Like, I want to like how weird it is, but I also don't like how weird it is. So I don't know where I land on it.
I feel like he's a peek at a bigger play pattern that maybe we'll know more about next week. It's that third mode that really just that's the talking point on him. Like, Buzzsaw from a smartphone, hey, that kind of makes sense. But then the smartphone turns into like a battering ram buggy, and it's like, where is that coming from?
And his bird mode is not really convincing.
it's trying real hard to make a bird shape out of a brick.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm still sorting that out. And then Shockwave. I love Shockwave. Shockwave is always great. Just by default, Shockwave is cool. He seems like he could be a neat little legend. Also, it is completely disrespectful to Shockwave to keep making him tiny. Shockwave is a big dude who just wrecks stuff, but having a Shockwave gun for my big combiners to hold, that's all right. I'm cool with that.
Yeah, and it looks like he might be using a whole lot of translucent purple plastic, which could look pretty cool in the final product.
Yeah.
There's Rekgar.
Oh, yeah, Rekgar. Also Rekgar.
He's weird.
Okay, yeah. It is weird. But they're doing something with that groove mold, so it's okay.
Yeah.
He has a Rekgar face.
I want to know how that Rekgar face turns out when it actually gets mass-produced.
Right.
There's a whole lot of tiny, tiny stuff on there that the CAD might be kinder to than the physical model.
Yeah, like if it gets paint or not, or if it's just like all gray with like the sculpting, or if they use a darker gray to pick out the beard and mustache, I guess we'll have to see.
Yeah, I mean, there was a paint master at the show, but that doesn't always speak to the mass-produced version.
Yeah. And moving on to Leader Skywarp. Yep.
Yeah. That.
Then, the Combaticons.
The Combaticons.
Here is where I'm disappointed with the Combaticons.
All right.
I'm disappointed that they didn't retool the Alpha Bravo helicopter into a space shuttle.
Do you get the feeling, because I was thinking about this, do you get the feeling this is one of those times where maybe we all thought of it and someone at Hasbro, as of, this reveal, was like, how did none of us think of this?
Well, just the shape of the cockpit and fuselage of the helicopter is so space shuttle-y, I don't know how that wasn't the plan. Like, it seems so intentionally like that.
I know, but I think this has happened before, where it's like, it because we're the fresh set of eyes looking at the toy, once it's made, everyone's like, yo, this is so obvious, and everyone who actually worked on it is like, what are you talking about?
Yeah. And then when I first saw the pictures, I was like, ew, he's just a jet? And, well, no, actually my first thought was, oh, they just left it blast off as a helicopter? And then I went, oh no, I completely forgot Vortex is a Combaticon. There is a helicopter in the Combaticons. And I'm like, well, maybe that's why they didn't do it. Because maybe that was like an idea at one point, and then they went, oh, crap, we forgot there was a helicopter too. And then I thought, well, they still could have done it and used the mold retooled. Because retooled, it would have been different enough to where it's not just two helicopters. And how would that be any worse than Superion? That's a whole bunch of jets that are pretty much the same shape.
I feel like I'm really sure that in hindsight, all of us, except for the people making the toys, saw that Alpha Bravo and had that thought. Like, I think that we all got too clever.
Yeah. But, you know, like, I'm glad there seems to be, like, a pretty new thing for Brawl.
Oh, yeah, I don't think
they didn't just try to fake a tank out of something else.
I don't think we mentioned it on here, but apparently on the show floor, they constantly made sure to point out that Shogo Hasui personally worked on Brawl, like the Masterpiece car guy.
Yeah.
So, Brawl... Like, well, I was going to say, Brawl's got, like, he's fully featured. He's got ankle tilts, and his combiner port disappears in his robot mode. So, he looks pretty sweet. Pretty swite, y'all.
We just created some new slang.
Trust.
Everyone spread it around. Banjo had to weigh in on that one, too. I was pretty sure that Brawl was going to end up being some sort of repaint, maybe with a little bit of retooling of Rook.
Yep. Everyone did.
Yeah, so that's cool.
And everyone thought Swindle was going to be off-road.
Right. Well, Swindle's Hound. Or is Hound Swindle?
And they're both Rook with new parts.
Yeah, but like so many new parts that it barely has any resemblance to Rook.
Yeah, and
it's so different looking.
The crazy thing is that like the entire back third is kind of just Rook, but Rook uses a shell and a front bumper to completely change how he looks compared to these guys. Like, it's we talked about it a bit last week, just like that the science of what we thought we knew about retools is like gone out the window,
right?
With a lot of this stuff.
And Swindle has pretty big eyes, so hopefully Derek Wyatt is happy.
I think people are trying to get it. I don't know if he actually made a comment yet about this new Swindle head. I think people should be pestering him on Twitter about that.
Maybe they're just slightly not big enough. But the fact that they're kind of big, he's going to seem like a lunatic if he complains that they're still too small.
Can we get a third-party company to make an alternator Swindle head for this new Swindle toy? You know, just for those of us who prefer the...
Yeah, then Onslaught.
Yeah.
I kind of had this feeling that there was no way they weren't going to use the Hotspot mold for Onslaught. And I think they did something cool. It's a little different than what they were going to do was.
Yeah.
But I think it looks pretty rad.
I mean, like, having him be, like, semi-backwards Hotspot kind of surprised me.
Yeah. And, well, just, like, the shape of his front end, like, what the front of this weird, crazy cannon truck is. It's like there's two cockpits.
Yeah.
Like, two cabs, or however you want to phrase it. It's weird looking. Like, they didn't do what I thought they were going to do, but they used the mold that I thought they were going to use. So all in all, I think Bruticus, it looks like a good team, all except for Blast Off, which I think they really just half-assed.
The big thing with me and Blast Off now is he needs to have a faceplate, so holy crap, don't use the slingshot head, use the Firefly head. Because I need him to have a faceplate. If he has a faceplate... After you know, a week has passed, I'm like, whatever. I'm fine with him being a jet. He still flies. He still blasts off. The happy after effect is Bruticus doesn't have a random space shuttle among his teammates now. There's a small upside, silver lining there. But cover his face. Don't give him, you know, bald spot slingshot's head. It ain't right. It ain't natural.
Yeah, and then scrolling down, I'm going past all this Robots in Disguise stuff. Sorry, fans of Robots in Disguise. I'm just not that interested.
Literally nothing new of note came out about Robots in Disguise, which was a big surprise.
Oh, Banjo's causing trouble over
here. Banjo's real mad about you skipping over that stuff.
He's really mad that I'm not paying attention to him right now. Okay, so these... did they show this at BotCon, the G.I. Joe crossover?
Oh yeah, that was at the round table thing. They showed like the toys and the packaging.
Yeah, like I've heard some people complaining about Old Snake, and yeah, I get it, but I still want Old Snake.
Mostly just wish they, because as far as I can tell, he's using like an existing hat. It looks like an existing hat, and I really wish it was a bigger hat. That's like, I don't know why, but like to me, and my memories of that episode, Old Snake is a giant hat with a faceplate under it and a big coat. And without the giant hat, it lessens the effect exponentially for me. But I mean, the rest of it looks fine. I don't think he's like god awful. It's just I wish his hat was bigger.
Now, did I hear right somebody saying somewhere that there was going to be like a almost human box set?
That was at a different club roundtable, I guess, where Almost Human RC and Rodimus are going to be a two-pack for club members to buy online.
Mm. Yeah, it's the whole thing. I gotta decide if I'm going to go through all this hassle. I don't know. Like, yeah, I've kind of drifted away from that scale, the 3¾-inch scale, but still it's Old Snake, and I wish there was a G.I. Joe Black Label. Also, yeesh, kind of a tangent, kind of still related to topic, that new, like, how are they describing, like, this interactive Hasbro thing where they're posting up pictures. What's it called? Hasbro Plus or Pulse?
Oh, yeah.
I have any idea what I'm talking about? Am I screaming in the wind?
I don't know what that is. Okay. I missed that.
So it's like, it looks like it's going to cover what I'm assuming are their four big properties: Transformers, My Little Pony, G.I. Joe, and Star Wars. And then it's like designer stuff, like there's some concept art and whatnot.
I got linked to the John Warden interview about the Combiner Wars toys. It was a pretty good interview. I liked it. That's the only thing I looked at on here.
Yeah, so just a little G.I. Joe tangent. Like, here's a sneak peek of G.I. Joe versus two packs. I'm like, ew. It's just, here's these molds again, just in weird colors.
Remember when Shipwreck fought Cobra Commander?
And Cobra Commander was black with red gloves or a red hood.
Yep.
But also black, and Gung-Ho was like super bright baby blue.
I like Croc Master, who comes with a bright red crocodile. Yeah,
bright red crocodile. That's
I didn't even notice that. That's insane. The troop builder looks nice, the Iron Grenadier and the Steel Brigade.
Yeah, that's the only one from here. Like, if I was still collecting Joe like I was in the earlier days of this podcast, I'd be like, I need to find at least 3 to 5 of these.
Yeah.
But anyway, back to BotCon.
Back to BotCon.
Oh, so when they first announced the San Diego Comic-Con version of Devastator.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, the Chrome that we're seeing here isn't bugging me that much. If I could get it easy and it's not like super expensive, then I wouldn't be against it. And now here's this picture of the San Diego guys all in robot modes and like all these chrome purple chests, and it's ew, I'll just wait.
Also, regular Devastator, it sounds like, has already broken his own August 1 street date, and all the e-tailers are following suit. Chosen Prime apparently have said they're getting theirs in next week. Big Bad has changed the release date to early July. I think the San Diego one, as far as like people who aren't at San Diego Comic-Con, he's starting to look kind of sunk as far as interest. It's just no, there's no real point. There's the regular one's going to be out everywhere in time to compete with the San Diego one.
Yeah, when I came onto the front page and started looking for a pick, like one of the top stories right now is Devastator U.S. retail.
In your state. There's a
picture of a shelf full of them.
Yeah, in your state.
I didn't really look that close at it. I just went, oh, look, there's...
Some Toys R Us was like, whatever, what's August 1st? It's today. Just put them out.
What part of the state, though?
I don't remember.
Is it in my backyard?
It literally, someone drop one in your backyard, and they're going to come pick it up tonight if you don't go get it.
Oh, my gosh.
Zomg.
Let me see. What else do we got?
That's about it for the major BotCon stuff.
Yeah, I'm scrolling through the pictures from the display case right now, but it looks like kind of everything. Oh, there's a... Yeah, so these are the guys that are gonna that are meant to be matched up with Prime, right? The Sun's Mirage.
Oh yeah, yeah, Sunstreaker Mirage.
Sunstreaker. And okay, here's what's bugging me with the picture of Sunstreaker in the case.
Mm-hmm.
The hand foot gun stuck to the roof, where the knuckle blaster bits look like two big air intakes like Sunstreaker had on the original toy. Mm-hmm. And in the case, they have it turned so the intakes are facing backwards and the thumb is shooting forward. I saw that picture and I was like, oh, come on, man.
The worst part is it's also upside down because that hand foot gun is designed specifically to lay dead flat on the roof with the thumb like on the back bumper so that those things are in just the right spot.
Yeah, it's like the like maybe
I never saw this. This is depressing. Holy crap.
Yeah, I'm like, maybe the best use of a hand foot gun on any of these figures, the most like canonical use of the hand foot gun, and they blew it in the case. Come on, guys.
They were probably like, I don't know. They're probably like, people just want to see Skyrain. Let's just get these guys out here.
Yeah, I forgot where my girlfriend and I were headed the day that the pictures of Skylink started hitting. But like, I see people tweeting and I'm like, wait, what is this? What is this? And she's like, what's going on? I'm like, maybe the most important thing to ever occur.
Yeah. Oh, that I was like before that, like leading up to that, I was getting so like kind of like melancholy because I was like, oh man, I'm not at the Hasbro panel. And now I've got to sift through everyone trying to describe what they're seeing. And then it turns out this year was the year that they're like, whatever, take pictures. And so I was like, they knew I couldn't make it. Thanks, Hasbro. Thanks, guys. They didn't know I couldn't make it, but I like to believe they did.
So is there anything big I glossed over?
As far as BotCon, no. I mean, if you want to talk a bit about the Tokyo Toy Show stuff.
Tokyo Toy Show. Hey, look at this masterpiece friggin' Ironhide.
Yeah.
Now I'm really going to skip those third-party van guys.
I feel bad for that company.
Yeah,
they were building up for months. They were going to start off with these two.
When you start up a third party company, there are risks.
There are. I don't feel like, you know, heartstrings bad, but I got a bit of empathy for them. They clearly had no idea this was going to happen. They didn't have the right connections.
Yeah.
No problem. How do you feel about Ironhide's crotch? That was a point of debate for a lot of people.
I'm looking at a picture where he's got like his hand sticking out and his legs a little splayed. I don't know. I don't think I have a big initial reaction to it or people upset about it.
People think that it looks like he's wearing a diaper. I don't really care myself.
No, it's a little wide, but you know, at least he's got a head.
Yeah, he's got two faces. Like one stoic and one going "Pram!"
Excellent impression of Arna.
Thank you.
That's exactly what he sounded like. Like that's how I remember him sounding. Yeah, a lot of them. Prom! Wake up,
it's the Decepticon creeps. It's a horrible Ironhide. He's just got like,
no, that's how I remember it.
Yeah, this horrible Southern drawl, just like terrifying person screaming from the back of the room.
Refusing to say Decepticon. Like, it's always got to be Decepticreeps or something.
Decepticons, and people are like, what does that even mean?
The other Autobots are just kind of like quietly annoyed. Like, they never say anything to him, but behind his back, he's like, it was funny like the first like 20 times, but it's like, this war's been going on for a million years, dude. Let the joke go.
When did we decide to let tenure mean anything when we are millions of years old transforming robots? What do you think about his sled of accessories after a whole bunch of Masterpiece toys coming with like one or two things, and he's just like, he's just decked out with 5 billion alternate hands?
I'm looking for a picture that shows all of his accessories.
It's buried. There's just like a spreadsheet of things. I'll just get you a direct link. It's number 58.
Okay, I think I found it, but I'll see what link you sent me. Yep, that's I found a very similar picture. It was a picture of the same thing, except for there was a guy standing in front of it pointing.
I've removed him.
Okay, cool. Okay, so the sleddy thing, is that a piece that detaches from him?
It's a completely separate standalone piece just to put all of his accessories on. All
right, because it's reminiscent, like with that little cannon on an arm and that gun with the round middle bit in the front. Very reminiscent of the original deal. So that is cool.
I think we had some discussion about whether or not it might like curl up to fit inside his vehicle mode, but I highly doubt it.
Yeah, I was about to be disappointed if it was revealed like you detach all this part of the van, because it doesn't have like the tread wheels, which I'm going to be bummed about here. Yeah. That's a little disappointing that it doesn't have the treads. If it came with the treads and then you could stand him on it, I would declare this maybe the best masterpiece of all time and nothing will ever be better.
I wonder if maybe we haven't seen everything yet, because that feels like a real easy thing to add, especially since it's a completely standalone piece.
Paging Dr. Wu.
I also agree with you. It would have blown if you actually had to remove that part of him, because like, I like the idea that it seems like it's just Masterpiece Ironhide as the other masterpieces are, and then here's his sled and all his like alternate pieces as a completely separate experience you can just leave in a box if you so choose.
Yeah.
But the van turns into Ironhide.
Right.
Full stop.
If he was parts formery, it would have been a bummer.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's cool. And then another thing, I almost missed this. I almost forgot to say something about this, and then I clicked the wrong thing and away from it. One of the other things they showed there in Tokyo. So I saw a picture of this, and then I said, oh my god, and my girlfriend was like, what? And I said, this Transformer thing, and she thought she was going to be disappointed, like Skylink's not being as amazing as I thought it was. And I turned the monitor around so she could see the Hello Kitty Transformer.
Mm-hmm.
To which case she was like, oh my god! Is that... where can you get that? And then, like, I found a pre-order for it, and I pre-ordered one for her, and she was like, it's so adorable. Ah, it's so cute.
The Q Transformer?
Yeah.
Yep.
So, one of those will be in my life.
Well, the other two big news items in here that people probably would like to hear us touch on would, number one, the mock-up of the Beast Mode from Masterpiece Optimus Primal in time for the 20th anniversary of Beast Wars next year. I think we've all pieced together this is not actually a transforming toy they're showing. This is just a statuette of the Beast Mode and what they want it to look like.
Yeah, because there's one, if that is what it looked like, I was going to say it's terrible. Because it looks like a balloon, like a big inflated gorilla.
Well, they're, it looks like clearly they're going to try to make him look like the 90s CG gorilla that he turned into in the cartoon, which is in line with Masterpiece. It's,
Oh, man. So they're going to try to make it look 90s 3D?
Yeah, all slick with, like, a fur texture instead of actual fur. Personally, I think that's way more interesting than, like, you know, the theories about gluing real fur to the toy.
Yeah, don't do that, but that would be terrifying. Like a transforming Moss Man, be awful. But yeah, I don't know. I think I would rather have it look as much like a real gorilla as possible and not comparatively low-res 3D.
I really want to see, like, just... I want to see these sculpted versions, like, that are lovingly crafting late 90s television CG. Like, there's something about that is so weird. It never would have occurred to me, but seeing it, I'm like, I think I'm into this.
I don't know.
The other big news is that the Combiner Wars Devastator in Unite Warriors, the Japanese release, is going to have all kinds of remolded parts to make the individual Constructicons do more.
Yeah. I'm just going to have to stick with the American version. I don't think I'm going to be able to get away with canning the American version, paying way more for a Japanese import.
I'm going to try my darndest to get the Japanese one, because I know I'm going to enjoy the individual guys a lot. But, like we said last week, you know, those of you who are looking at this, think about it. Are you going to actually play with the individual Constructicons a whole bunch after the first week? Or are you going to combine them into Devastator, and then they're going to just be Devastator for most of its life?
Me personally, they might go back and forth more often than one would think. Because I really, really like the individual Constructicons.
Me too. That's why this thing caught my eye so much.
Like not just the toys, but like the Constructicons.
Yeah.
So, and then like, I think a lot of that comes from as a kid. I didn't have all six more than I did. Like I seem to remember getting all six relatively quickly. And then my hook getting broken, and then not getting a new hook for a very long time.
Yeah.
So they were more individual toys in my world than they were Devastator. But yeah.
I think we all are waiting to see two things: when this version comes out and how much it costs. Because neither of those things have been announced as of June 30.
Yeah. Yeah, and if I'm going to be looking for a house, which we've started doing, I'm just going to have to be okay with the American version.
Yeah, and honestly, the American version, like, now that more people are getting it in hand, it looks fine. Like, yeah. It isn't as nice as this one, objectively, but it still looks fine. Like the main thing that these things are all gaining is elbow enhancement. Right. And the two best figures of the bunch, from all in-hand reports, are the two guys who already have fine elbows on the American release.
Fine elbows.
Fine elbows.
Yo, girl, them elbows are fine.
Bend it for me. 90 degrees.
Yo, girl, I like your articulation.
That's pretty gross. That's about it for Tokyo Toy Show, I think. The only other major thing in here I don't think I ever talked about myself was these random pictures of the 1-to-1 scale versions of the model kit Darth Vader and Stormtrooper.
Yeah.
Which I think were just there for promo purposes, but I thought it was cute that they called them 1-to-1 scale. And kits.
Well, speaking of Star Wars, here's a little toy tangent for us. Ooh. Adam Paulus on the Entertainment Earth podcast is referring... Huh?
I was going to say Adam Paulus, the man of the 5POA.
Yeah. He talking about the Star Wars Black Label, the 6-inchers. This wave with a Princess Leia in disguise and IG-88.
Mm-hmm.
He's saying that's seems to be the last wave of Black Label.
I think it's the last one I've heard. Like, I mean, I don't go looking for it, but that's the last bunch of new 6-inch ones I've seen solicited in a long time.
Yeah, and he's saying that there's no talk that he's heard about more. Now I'm hoping, and then he seemed to indicate as much that that they're waiting for the new movie.
Yeah, I mean, there is a Black Label new movie Stormtrooper that's debuting at San Diego.
Right.
So
hopefully they'll still be mixing like original trilogy guys in. So like maybe like the way it's been now, it tends to go like 3 original trilogy and then 1 prequel figure per wave.
Yeah.
And then if it's like 3 new movie, 1 original trilogy guy, I'll be fine with that as long as we get the rest of the friggin' bounty hunters. I need the rest of the bounty hunters. I need a Dengar. And where is C-3PO?
Yeah, I was going to say, what about, like, I think top priority at this point, get frigging C-3PO made. And well, and then after that, get a Princess Leia made who's not from the third movie.
Right. And here's what I'm hoping with C-3PO, because I guess like some promo thing was shown that had C-3PO from episode 7 on it, and this was the first time anybody saw anything about C-3PO from episode 7.
Mm-hmm.
And the way it was described is, yeah, it's C-3PO, except for one of his arms is red.
Okay.
So here's what I'm hoping. I'm hoping for an episode 7 black label 6-inch C-3PO who comes with an extra arm, so you could have them red arm episode 7 or gold arm original trilogy.
Yeah. Or, I mean, even if that doesn't happen, at least the physical version exists, and then, I mean, this will suck. You go get someone to paint the other arm.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think that they're in a holding pattern until all the embargoes on episode 7 are out of the way.
Yeah.
It would suck for Black Label to end on, like, I mean, it's had its ups and downs, but, like, that Emperor Palpatine looked ridiculous garbage, and I've heard some pretty sad stuff about IG-88.
Yeah, in that Adam Paulus podcast, he was reviewing that wave, and he said that IG-88's legs are uneven.
Yeah, and they don't move outward, and the ankles don't move outward, so basically, as far as I understand it, if you get one who can't stand, there's nothing you can do to make him stand.
Right. Well, I've got one coming, so in some relatively soon future episode, I'll have something to say about it.
I saw the new wave at the comic shop for decent prices, and I almost bought Boosh, Leia, and IG-88 because I thought they both looked cool, but IG-88 was just like, he looks so good, but his legs are such a crapshoot from my understanding.
Yeah, but he's one of the bounty hunters, and I need all the bounty hunters.
And he's so apparently,
they have to make all the bounty hunters.
He's apparently got a cool thing where he has elbow joints hidden under, like, rubber, like, accordion things.
Yeah.
Which sounds pretty neat.
Yeah, and I guess his gun's pegged to his wrist.
Yeah, there's some, like, the neat setup for that that makes his hands still look cool.
It looks like he's holding the gun, but his hands aren't really holding the gun. It's the peg that's holding the gun.
And I think he's got universal shoulders, which is kind of cool for IG-88. Like, he can wave his arms around. And you're like, you know, like he did in the movies. Remember that classic scene when IG-88 waved his guns around and went,
Well, that last 3 3/4 inch IG-88 they did a couple years ago had tons of articulation. And, like, from that one scene where he was just standing there in the movie, I always figured, like, I don't know how this guy's scary. He probably could barely walk.
He's literally a prop.
Like, right. And then he's, like, all, like, crazy articulated in this toy. I'm like, this is weird. Like, who would have thought IG-88 could move like this? But then I guess in Rebels, there's a bunch of assassin droids that are very similar. Like, mm-hmm. A similar model robot. And they're, like, doing all these crazy flips and spider walking across ceilings and stuff. And it's like, oh, okay, we just never saw IG-88 move. But if he did, it would have been bananas.
And he would have been creepy. Creepy, creepy Spider-Man. Well, Seth, let's move on into some new picture picks where I'm going to give you the steering wheel again. Tell me what you want to talk about.
Oh, okay. Where'd my window go? This isn't really a picture, and I think I clicked away from it by accident. Okay, here we go. All right. This is more of something somebody said. Lindsay Beer, said that the future Transformer films are going to focus more on robot characters. What a novel and bizarre idea.
Where was this said? Because I missed anything about the new movie, like, news.
Okay, here, I'll give you a link.
Yeah, link me to the thing.
It's a very short story. I'll read it for you.
All right. read me a story, Seth.
Quoting the front page, as written by Galvatronus, Transformers Cinematic Universe Writers Room member Lindsay Beer has posted a tweet in which she indicates that future films of the live-action franchise will be given more attention to the characters of the Transformers themselves. What a novel, bizarre idea that the characters that... however you pronounce that word.
The reticular.
That the movie is named after would have something to do with the movie.
Yeah, I mean, the news story is correct. The last Transformers movie, Age of Extinction, went leaps and bounds to actually flesh them out, at least as, like, you know, basic one-note cartoon characters.
Right. They actually talk to each other
in
one scene. So her exact quote is, "The Transformers will be treated as real characters. As a fan, as well as a writer, I promise we're delivering some awesomeness." And then she, like, ripped a beer bong, because that's what people who say awesomeness do.
So I'm going to temper with a little bit of temperism here. What they're delivering is stuff that they're writing in their writer's room that all funnels towards an approval process. I would take this as there are well-intentioned people in the writer's room, which is what I was hoping for, but I would say don't celebrate nothing until one of these movies actually comes out. Like, just be on, don't set yourself up to be disappointed. This is still a writer's room with all these people in it standing around a bumblebee statue.
And then they deliver the script, and Michael Bay goes, "What's all this garbage?" and starts ripping pages out.
Yeah, like, I mean, this is still a better writing environment than the last four films had. But nonetheless, I would caution a bit of, watching from a distance. Don't get your hopes up too high yet. I'm not trying to be a pessimist here. Just, I mean, we've been through four of these, is what I'm saying.
Well, at least somebody in the writer's room at least thinks that this is what they're going to do.
Yeah, and that's a good
thing. At least somebody is thinking that, whether or not they pull it off. I hope they pull it off.
I do too. I don't ever want to go into one of these movies going like, "I hope this sucks," because I don't. And I hope it goes well. The writer's room thing, I'm very impressed already at the amount that we are hearing from the writer's room. I was expecting them to be like put into like shut the vault lockdown for a good year until anyone would say anything about what they're doing in there. So,
like all the stories of Bay locking those two dudes in a hotel room and sliding lobster sandwiches under the door.
Yep. Stories that they themselves told. which time real well with the, and match up real well with the attitude towards writers shortly after that writer's strike.
Can we get something besides lobster? Shut up.
Can we get water?
I overheard somewhere that lobster meat helps you write. That, where would you have heard? Shut up and write.
My PA told me before I shot him out of a cannon. Well, my only picture pick is also relevant to the live action movie, Seth.
Oh.
We got a closer look at 3A's Dark of the Moon Optimus Prime that is now up for pre-order for the low, low price of $430 US shipped.
Yeah.
Unless you're a 3A associate, in which case I'll go check something. But,
it's something less.
It's something less. So this is the third one of these they've shown. He's apparently, 19 inches tall, which is pretty wicked. He's got LEDs and whatnot. The bummer is the Bambaland exclusive is his gun. So if you aren't getting it from Bambaland, he is going to be armed with dual swords and a blade knuckle, but no gun. Now, here's the small silver lining. 3A toys that have posable fingers, I find generally kind of suck at holding guns. So it's not the biggest loss in the world if you get him without a gun, if you are even looking at this guy. But end of the day, getting it from Bambaland, I think you save a good 30, 40 bucks on shipping alone. But you're also paying for it in upwards of 9 months before it comes out. I'm going to be passing on this because that's a whole chunk of friggin' money. So I'm not even going to talk about, you know, I don't think either of us are going for this. But Seth, as another gentleman of the 3A persuasion, What do you think about this?
It looks like they did a fantastic job, as they tend to do. Like, I'm just scrolling through the pictures and, like, drooling over the paint job.
Yeah.
But there's no way I'm buying it. It's just way too expensive. And also, I'm not that into the movie designs. But, yeah, it looks like they did a great job.
Yeah.
If someone is going for it, like you said, like upwards of 9 months ahead of time. Yes. Whatever they say for its release, like if they say November, play it safe and add 2 to 3 months on top of that, and then it's probably 4 or 5 months on top of that.
Well, I'm looking at the listing. Number one, if you are a 3A associate, instead of $430, you're paying $365.50. With the discount. And hey, they're being realistic. They're saying ships first quarter 2016. So at least they're not trying to claim this will be out in 2015.
Right.
Because if they did, it wouldn't. We can tell you from experience.
Just expect to wait. Are you an associate? Were you?
I am an associate
tweeting
this year.
About the free figure.
Yes. I don't think I tweeted about it. No, I did because the box was crazy. That's in my what we gots for this week.
Okay.
But so yeah, I'm an associate this year. I am in no position to funnel an Optimus to anybody. Let me just lay that out.
Did you sign up for a reason?
Were you drunk? I think it was a mixture of figuring that it would be the best way to try out 3AGO because I'd get a robot with 2 3AGO guys.
Uh-huh.
And I really liked the idea of the 6-scale Dirty Dozen at the time. And so I thought, well, if I'm going to get one, I may as well get the discount. Perhaps was not one of the best decisions I've ever made. But the box for the 3A Associate set, not to go into that right away, is the nicest looking 3AA set I have ever seen. It's a million years past the duffel bag I got last time. So that helped. Also, I liked their Ultron.
Did you get a duffel bag or a messenger bag?
Sorry, messenger bag. Messenger bag.
I liked that messenger bag.
Me too.
I had used it a couple of times, and I don't own it anymore because my cat decided that it would be a good place to take a crap.
Yeah.
And then that crap got smeared all into it, and it just had to get thrown away.
Yeah, I used it a whole bunch, and then the strap broke, and then I got it fixed. And then the strap broke, and then I got it fixed, and I still have it. It has a Glios pin attached to it, so it's like my indie toy bag. Except also, it has a really dumb lady with bombs for boobs as a big logo that looks like naked boobs. And I was like, well, this is a bit much. So I put the Glios pin over top of the big naked bomb boobs.
Prude.
Yep. I winced as I did it, too, because I caught sight of them for a moment. And I was like, Put an innocent thing like Glios over top of it. But yeah, I also liked the way that the Ashley Wood Ultron looked. So that ended up making it worth it because that was also a decent saving.
Yeah.
But yeah, this Optimus looks pretty neat. The Megatron looked pretty neat. Bumblebee looked pretty neat. These are all also available through other retailers if you don't need the exclusive accessory. The last two had exclusive accessories that were like... Bumblebee came with a thing that didn't matter, and Megatron's exclusive accessory, I think, was his cape, which ended up looking kind of junky. So this is the first time I think that this is really a thing to consider, but it's also... He's going to suck at holding it, and I'm going to place a good bet on that being the case. So don't worry too much about it. If you do want to get it later, whenever it actually does come out, a bunch of places will have it. I think Big Bad and HLJ, off the top of my head, always get these things in. And I'm also looking forward to seeing some in-hand reviews of all these things, because everything I saw about 3A's Real Steel figures looked like they were pretty cool toys. It's really expensive toys from a movie I wasn't necessarily into. So I'm curious if that's going to translate to these even bigger Transformers pieces pretty well. That's my new picture pick.
Cool.
Seth, why don't we take a listener question.
All right, let's do that.
Because this listener question is, like, straight up specifically aimed at us with a needle point. Like a surgical laser implying this listener question is for you and me alone. It's from LuckyBot. And it opens with, "Hello, Seth and Vangelis." So that's why I think it might be aimed at...
Remember when you thought it was funny to read listener questions that, like, specifically called out specific teams to the opposite team?
Yeah.
And, like, you were reading questions, like that were, like, specifically, like, "Hey, Aaron." And then on that show, you were like, "Hey, Seth." And you thought it was hilarious.
Yes.
Remember that?
I do. But I am an unpredictable fluid being.
Yeah, so. You just forgot.
You can't flip my
either
cards over.
Either you forgot
over.
Or you grew out of it. Either
you can't,
way.
You can't flip my cards over and think, I know what this is going to be. Because you're going to be like, this is going to be the Ace of Spades. Flip it over. Yo, this card's not even from a pack of cards. It's something I made on the back of a candy wrapper.
I'll flip over whatever I want.
Flip over the table. And there's the Ace of Spades. What's it doing down there? I don't know. Vangelis.
I think you're going to flip over the Ace of Spades, but you flip over a Magic the Gathering card.
Yep, Black Lotus.
Oh, no, it's a some. Oh, no, it's a Yu-Gi-Oh card. I don't know what's happening.
It's an Ice Age era Icy Manipulator. Not worth nothing. I actually don't know. But question goes on to say, "My name is LuckyBot from the boards, and I have a question for you. My question is, what aspect of a toy do you look forward to the most? What toy..."
Throwing it away. Oh, what?
Still more here. It's one of those multifaceted questions.
Oh.
"What toys or toy line gives you your bang for your buck? The engineering, character, the design, the size, etc. My question came from looking into Jack's Pacific World of Nintendo toy line, a line I enjoy very much, knowing that the engineering and articulation is not the best, but the fact that serviceable Nintendo toys are available for a nominal price. Thank you for taking your time to answer your question." And click. Is that still a thing? It's always a thing! World of Nintendo, by the way, I agree with you, LuckyBot. They aren't the best toys, but they're really cheap, and they're somewhat posable Nintendo figures, and that's still kind of a new thing.
The only one I have is the Link, and it's pretty good.
Yeah. I'm constantly hoping to run across the Samus Aran, even though I already have the Figma one. I'd love to get, like, a cheaper, you know, brighter, just serviceable Samus Aran toy.
Yeah, if I ever come across it, I'd probably grab it. I've never seen it.
I got the Wario figure, who is the worst representation of the line, but he's also kind of wonderful. Because he has, like, no articulation.
Yeah.
But he's also Wario, which is, like, the best Nintendo character. Almost. So, Seth, what is it that you look forward to the most outside of throwing them out in toys? Like, what does it for you?
Well, so this is just toys in general and not just Transformers?
Yeah, I mean, you can pick or choose, I figure. Like... You want to keep it threaded on Transformers, or just...
Well, in regard to Transformers, I think I'm most attracted to the robot modes. And then if it's a really cool vehicle mode, then that's almost a bonus.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I really love that new Masterpiece. Not Masterpiece. Leader Ultra Magnus robot mode. I think it's so cool.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, I don't know. Yeah, so like with Transformers, I think I'm more interested in the robot mode than anything else. And then I hope everything else is cool.
Yeah.
With like other toys that I tend to buy, I want good articulation. And if it's a character from something, like a Marvel character or the Rocketeer, then I want it to look as much like that as possible. Like, the more accurate it is to whatever it's representing is what I get excited about.
Mm.
And then I want good articulation. That's a big thing. And I'll give up some of, like, the realism of, like, the anatomy, like, on a human character. As long as it's in the service of a greater range of articulation. Because if I want something that looks like super statue-y, like a 90s McFarlane figure, then there are people doing that. Like modern McFarlane. But I don't want that. I don't want little statues. I want posable things. I want to be able to put them in dumb poses and make stupid little jokes on Twitter taking pictures.
Yeah. For me, like, just bang for your buck in general. Like, with Transformers, it's definitely, am I having fun with it? And that's kind of a range of, like, depending how much it costs, I want different kinds of fun out of it. But, like, Combiner Wars, for instance, to me, has been a great bang for your buck. Because I'm getting these really cool robot modes, and they transform super fast, and they combine super fast. And generally, the combiners feel real good when they're put together. Like, I don't feel like anything's... I don't think everything's perfect, but I don't feel like anything has crippled itself for the sake of anything else. Outside of, like, maybe one or two little cases, like, off-road doesn't make for a good arm, but that's about it. In the wider scope, though, like, my total, like, if money doesn't matter, engineering is what really gets me going, and often that involves articulation. Like, I'm like Seth, I need posable toys. I can live with a toy that's not super posable as long as it feels adequately posable for what, you know, what it costs, which I'll probably go into in the What We Got This Week a bit more. But, like, an easy example of what I want out of spending a lot of money on a toy is the Sentinel re-edit Iron Man figures that have come out, the Bleeding Edge and the Extremis. They cost close to, like, what Hot Toys toys cost, and they're not as tall, and they aren't, like, as lifelike in their sculpts. But what I'm paying, like, part of what you're paying for is the engineering of them, where, like, on the Bleeding Edge, if I'm moving his shoulder around, there are at least 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, like, at least 8 components just in his shoulder to make his shoulder move in just about every direction you want, and have all of the armor plating move like organic multi-layered armor around the outside and inside of his shoulder. And it looks amazing in motion. And with Transformers, like, engineering is, of course, a big part of those, too. I live for those moments of the toy doing something where I'm just looking at it going, like, holy crap, right, toys have gone places since the 80s. That's like, my biggest draw. That's the thing that gets me the most excited. And Sentinel, right now, often is the company that does that most frequently. Usually at quite a premium. Their stuff is kind of expensive for what it does, but I feel like some of that price comes from them having these, you know, multi-component, interlocked, interweaved motions of pieces, and then producing them on a mass production level where most of the ones that people get aren't broken or locked up somehow. Like, I feel like part of what I'm paying for is that these are assembled correctly, given how intricate their designs are. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of my biggest crack. That's the thing that makes me feel... It's not so much a bang for your buck thing, but it's the thing that really just makes me feel giddy about toys, is when, like, people push the limits and the expectations of visual engineering. So I hope that answered your question. This is probably, again, one of those questions that would be well happy and open to listener participation, Transformers or otherwise.
And, like, what you said about, like, articulation... in regard to its cost, like, yeah, that's a thing. Like, if it's some, like, really expensive Figma figure, or, well, that's not really expensive, but, like, a more expensive Figma figure or a really expensive 3A figure or something like that,
yeah,
and they really blew it on the articulation, then it's like, well, what the hell? Like, okay, well, it's still rad because it's 3A and the paint is so cool that I'm super impressed with the paint job, but it's a real bummer I can't bend this guy's knees because his stupid pants are too tight.
Yeah, or you know, like the classic 3A thing for their human figures, the boots are a locked piece.
Yeah.
If I was going to step away from my whole thing about being able to hold their own accessories, that's honestly the worst thing that 3A has to get away from, are those locked ankles on their... high price point pieces, because it's just, it sucks to try. I have a grunt, like I have a 1/12 scale grunt, and now I understand what everyone was talking about, because, like, he sucks to try to keep standing outside of a few poses.
Yeah. And then there's some figures, like that World of Nintendo Link,
yeah,
where, like, messing with him, it's like, oh man, if he just had, like, an ankle thing, or if he also had this, then he'd be all so much better. But then it's like, yeah, but it's so much cheaper than a similar size figure from somebody else. Then it's forgivable that it didn't have those couple more points of articulation. Where if it was, like, the cost of a Marvel Legend that's in the same size scale, but a but didn't have those points, then they'd be way more of a bummer. So, like, that's a case where what it, I thought it was missing was forgivable because of its low price. So,
well, I'm going to go into a bit of the what I got this week just to continue on, you know, make another point, like, because this all matches up with some figures I just got, which is Mezco's Mortal Kombat X figures, where they look really nice and they're poseable to a degree. Like, they're not super poseable, but they're adequately poseable. And I could have used, like, double joints in the knees and elbows. I would have liked that. I would have liked a bit more range out of the hips going outwards, or on some of them, the shoulders going outwards. But they also cost just shy, like, just below $20 US each. The paintwork is great, and they all come with at least two pairs of hands and a couple accessories. So it's kind of like, I would have liked them to be a bit more poseable, but then they would have cost $25 to $30, and I think that would have lessened their draw overall. Because there's something to a toy that's just under $20 that looks really nice and poses enough to be able to make them look silly, you know, or look in character. That, like, that's like a different kind of bang for your buck for me, where it's like, you're keeping yourself in this limited palette, but you're making the most of it. And I could have used more, but then going outside of that price point you're in would have made it less interesting to me overall. Like these Mezco Mortal Kombat figures, if they were like $25, $30, and, you know, had that extra posability, I'd like them, but something more charming about them at this, like, sub $20 price point.
Any concern going into them that after how awesome the Batman was, that you were going to have higher expectations than you maybe should have?
Oh, no. I mean, once I saw these things were selling for a fraction of what the Batman cost, I was like, yeah, okay, these aren't 112 collective, so I'm not expecting that, but they pointed out enough points of articulation, I was like, well, I hope they can at least do a couple poses. And getting them in hand, they can do a couple poses. I think they're pretty cool. I would caution, you know, like, don't go in thinking, like, I'm going to have these guys do backflips and gymnastic moves. They can't bend their elbows past 90 degrees, nor their knees. But they do still have, like, a very basic range of articulation that works. The thing that I'm going to be comparing to the Batman is if they make 112 collective Mortal Kombat guys, then I'm going to be like, yeah, this better friggin' pose like that Batman did, and maybe even better. But yeah, I think the price point made it super clear, like, these are not supposed to be that Batman.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'll talk more about them later on in the podcast. Seth, I think this is a perfect time for us to take a little... It's always a perfect time, because we edit this thing and we're in charge of our own schedule. So it, once again, is the perfect time for us to take a little break. And then we're going to come back and talk a bit about things we got this week, which may include Mortal Kombat action figures. Stay tuned.
Your sideshow freaks attack my fighters. That is expressly forbidden before the tournament. As your emperor well knows, my dominions are well known to me, sorcerer. Thank you. Come with me.
He's Raiden, god of lightning and protector of the realm of Earth.
Oh, great.
Oh, there's your rational explanation.
Listen. You have been chosen to defend the realm of Earth in a tournament called Mortal Kombat. Your world is but one of many realms. One of them is a forsaken land called Outworld, ruled by an immortal who has crowned himself emperor. The essence of Mortal Kombat is not about death, but life. The fate of billions will depend upon you.
Seth, welcome back.
Hi, I'm glad to be back.
I'm glad you're back. I was worried when we were starting, because right before we got going and right before I jumped on Skype, I got so tired all of a sudden. You want to know the real smart thing I did before a podcast? I ordered in Chinese food and ate a bunch of it.
I was going to guess that you chugged a half bottle of NyQuil.
Yeah, because I just love to take risks. That's why they call me the risk taker evangelist.
Now, is the Chinese food the problem, or is the problem that you ate too much? Because Chinese people eat Chinese food all the time, and it's not like their country of people laying around taking naps.
Well, number one, this is, like, North American Chinese food.
So it's the most accurate.
Yeah. Number two, I had one bowl. I had a little bit of noodle, a little bit of orange chicken, and I had a dim sum. So.
And a dim. I thought. Isn't dim sum a style of Chinese food?
It is, but
a specific thing.
I forgot specifically which dim sum it was. I had one that was rolled up, but I forgot what its name was. I'm just calling it a dim sum.
Just say it was a dumpling, because that's what half a dim sum seems to be.
This was a roll.
Dumplings.
This was like special spring roll, I think.
Okay, well, why did you just say that?
There are some cool dumplings this place does, which are called war tip. I don't know what that means.
War tip?
Well, with an O, not an A. It's W-O-R.
Atomic warheads.
Yeah. Well, the war tip are these pork dumplings that are pan-fried, and they come with this delicious sauce, which is like a super Hunanese-ish, like, sweet, spicy sauce. And I was telling Kryn that I was having a war tip, and Kryn was convinced that that was some weird slang I made up until I explained what it was. I thought that was kind of funny. Because it sounded weird when I typed it. But I'm feeling fine, because I've got Coke Zero. So I'm using caffeine to combat food coma. Which might be a real terrible idea, I don't know.
Hey, have you seen that Coke Life?
No.
So it's just started popping up here. I remember hearing months ago that they were testing it in Europe.
In Europe?
So, yeah, in Europe. So it uses, I don't remember. I think it uses cane sugar and stevia. And so I've tried it a couple times now. It tastes like a Diet Coke or a Coke Zero, like that less sweet without the aspartame-y burn that I can't stand. So it kind of tastes like a less sweet Coke without the awful aspartaminess.
Is this out in the States?
Yeah.
Because I'm going to be in the States in a couple days. I'll maybe keep an eye out for it.
Yeah. I don't see it everywhere. I've only seen it a handful of places so far, so it's not like pure saturation, so you might have to hunt for it. But it has a green label. So look for Coke bottles with a green label.
Okay. Because I've seen the Pepsi bottles with a green label. I forgot what that one was. Or maybe I saw Coke Life. I might have seen Coke Life, and I just didn't know what it was, so I kept walking past it. Okay, I think I've seen it in the States. I'm going to try to get one. Celebrate 4th of July with Coca-Cola Life.
Are you coming to America for the 4th?
Yes, I am.
Is that why you didn't want to record Friday?
Yes.
Okay.
Cause
you're super patriotic.
Hey, you know, I'm gonna see fireworks, and I don't know.
You gotta do fireworks.
I just see the fireworks, and I'm gonna be in an apartment which has at least 15 Canadian flags in it because I brought a hella Canadian flags. after like years of never finding just normal Canadian flags at Dollaramas, I found the Dollarama where they all were, and I spent a bit too much money. There was some tacky stuff in that. There was Canadian flag cowboy hats that I almost bought. And I didn't.
And then you just brought them all to Kryn's?
Yep.
For some reason.
Well, to make up for all the time spent where I didn't have, like, just a nice little Canadian flag that I could give her, I brought, I think, like, at least 8. And I put
them... Was she appreciative of all these Canadian flags?
I think she was appreciative of the prank I played with them where... She woke up one morning to see Canadian flags hanging everywhere. It was real fun. It was like Easter Bunny stuff. Like I felt.
Are you sure they're still there and she didn't just throw them away?
I'm pretty sure they're still there. Because she was telling me that now she's going to get me a big American flag to match the gigantic Canadian flag I put up on her wall. Anyway.
I saw the best ISIS flag parody from one of the pride parades last weekend.
Oh, I saw that news story.
Really great. I thought that was great.
Was that an actual news story?
The screenshot I saw was from CNN's Twitter.
That's the one I saw too, and I was like, this seems like it could happen, but it also seems like enough Like, it's the right kind of thing to be a joke, but...
But also, it's believable that CNN would get that wrong because they barely seem like a functioning television station at this point.
For those who don't know, it was basically a flag with a whole bunch of silhouetted, like, phalluses on it.
Yeah.
That someone apparently looked at, and because they were a bunch of dashes and curves, they were like, oh god, it's in Arabic or something.
Yeah, and because that's the thing that you're going to see at a pride parade is an ISIS flag.
You know, it suits a couple very specific narratives that don't need to be given any more time than we just gave them.
just so I saw that picture, I'm like, oh, CNN, you idiots. and then I just thought, that's hilarious, though. That somebody made that, that's hilarious. Not the CNN part. CNN's a bunch of idiots.
Yeah, somebody made the, the giant phallus flag.
Right.
Like, I want all these! It's like, all right, cool.
Yeah, because F those guys, that's hilarious. I hope somewhere somebody is super offended. And then, like, what? Are you going to be afraid that they're going to do something awful because they've been offended? They're already doing awful things all the time.
Yep.
It's not an excuse.
Well,
somebody should blow those guys up. Anyway, toys.
Who? I just heard some weird buzzing in my ear. Seth, did you get any Transformers this week?
I did.
What?
Okay.
You're lying.
So, I was at Target, and I was like, oh, look, there's the leader class Armada Megatrons that I don't want. Just for the fun of it, I'm going to look at the ones behind the one in front and just see how many they have, how many Armada Megatrons they have, because that's all that I ever see are like 3 to 5 Armada Megatrons on shelf. And I went, yep, there's one. Yep, there's two. Yep, there's three. This must be a fourth one. Oh, my God, it's just regular Megatron. I'm going to get that. So I got that.
All right.
I just got that. I haven't opened it yet. So I'm just acknowledging that something magical happened and I found one.
I'm happy.
All the way
in
the back. All the way in the back of the shelf.
That's how I found my Robots in Disguise 2015 Bumblebee for $10 at a Backwoods Kmart. He was just buried under a bunch of stuff. And there's like nothing they had on sale from that line. Just a sign saying that line was on sale. I found the one Bumblebee.
Sweet. Then I got in the mail, I got that, I got the Breakneck and Quickslinger. So I got those, and those came in.
You can fully G1.
Yeah, I can. And they're good. I like Quickslinger's, like, round orange head. It's so weird looking.
He looks so bald.
Yeah, it looks really weird, but I like how weird it is.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're good. They're, you know, basically molds that we already have at least twice. So they're not exciting in that regard. They're exciting in that it's cool to have, like, the whole original team. And not that I really minded the new characters. Like, Alpha Bravo is still one of my favorite things in Transformers right now.
Yeah.
Mostly because of the crazy character we came up with for him, but it's just cool to have all the original characters.
Yeah,
and nobody feels left out.
Yeah, like I plugged those new guys on, and I was like, hey, this is kind of cool. And like, there's Japanese sets coming out, which are way more oriented towards the old toys. But like, this gave me the nostalgia I didn't know I needed, like the nostalgic oriented kick of like, hey, these are my three childhood combiners, and now they're all complete and better. This is kind of cool.
And then I got one of the perfect combiner upgrade sets from Perfect Effect, the hand foot combo turns into Gatling gun, all that stuff. So I got a purple one. I have a black set coming tomorrow with some other stuff, including that Figma Thinker, the statue.
Oh man,
that's coming. Oh, did you see they showed the next one from the
Venus de Milo?
Oh, it's so weird looking.
Add on arms and then like replacement posable legs, because why not?
it's so weird. I'm probably gonna pass on it, but I was just laughing when I saw the pictures. Anyway, so like the black set like didn't come in the same time the purple one did, so yeah, that's coming. Those are good. I like the feet. I really like the feet. I didn't realize how, like, barely feet the hand foot guns seemed until I got those feet and was like, I think I like these feet a lot better.
Hmm.
And then the hands are, you know, they're pretty good. I don't think they're so fantastic.
No. They feel old.
If you want, yeah, but if you want posable fingers, then they're good. But I think that you get more from the stability of those feet than, like, that's more of a draw to me. Like, I think you benefit more from that necessarily than you do for the hands.
Yeah, just those hands are just too thin. Like, they just feel like a product of the late aughts than something from the mid-2010s.
Yeah. And the fact that all the fingers are the exact same length kind of make it look just kind of like slightly, maybe a little of that uncanny valley, uneasy vibe kind of thing.
But I think it's that,
not nightmarishly awful, but you know.
Yeah, it's that plus how thin they are that just comes together to make them look kind of weird when they're not kind of clenched together. I'm looking forward to, it sounds like in the next like 2 months, Non-F Productions is going to get his own hands and feet produced and out in the wild. And I'm looking forward to trying those out as well. Because it seems unbelievable to me that there are two options for Combiner Wars upgrades, which is Non-Fs and Perfect Effects. Nobody else seems to be working on anything, and I think that's insane. But whatever.
And it might be kind of cool to get a couple different sets of these kind of deals.
Oh, yeah.
Just to make them all look different. Like, you got a couple of them with the non-F, a couple of them with the perfect effect, a couple of them with, like, the default handfoot gun that it comes with, and it's all cool.
Yeah, that's why I'm hanging on to all this. And, like, it helps that, you know, Galvatronus is out there, and he's purple as well, so, you know, anything made for Menasor ostensibly works for him, too, visually.
Uh-huh.
And, yeah, I really like the idea of all the different shapes, because, like, the perfect effect hands and feet look, like, in black, look amazing on Defensor. This is, like, the basic Defensor build. It just kind of works with how bulky he already is. Whereas on Superion, I feel like the perfect effect stuff looks kind of enormous, especially the feet. And then on Menasor is the one I'm really looking forward to comparing them, because, like, I think the way the Combiner Wars Menasor came together, having enormous feet and hands works, but I also want to see what it looks like with slightly less enormous ones. Mm-hmm. So I'm really looking forward to comparing all that stuff, and I'm amazed that I only have two companies' things to compare for this. I was so certain that people would be diving all over these guys, but it looks like instead they were all just waiting for Devastator.
Yeah. Yep. That is my on topic, though.
Yeah, my on topic is zilch.
You hate Transformers.
Nothing. No how. Nowhere. Nada. There's nothing new out for me to get that I'm after right now. So, you know, I got Defensor. Defensor just started showing up in Canada. I almost bought a second Rook so I could have a Combiner have Rook roller skates, but then there wasn't a sale going on when I saw a Rook, and I was like, ah, I'll get him later. I eventually want to have some spare Rooks so I can do the Rook roller skates, because those look fun.
Yeah.
But no, I only got off topic stuff to talk about.
Well, that will likely be my situation next time, because like in that big bad box I have coming is that other upgrade set. And then unless I find something in the wild, I'll just have a bunch of on topic stuff. Because in that box I got I got the Thinker and some Star Wars dudes coming.
Yeah.
A set of Tomashi stands.
Well, we can just have this conversation about the perfect effect hands and feet all over again.
Yay, the fingers.
We'll just pretend that we never had this one. Yeah, and I haven't got anything on topic that I've been working on some videos about on topic things, but I think I talked about them on here ages ago, so there's nothing new to report. But I want to talk about my Mortal Kombat X figures, damn it. I was on Twitter, and I got a message from Daily Durian, Albie, over on the Repack podcast, and he was talking to V3, and they were basically, he was saying that I would be the guy to talk to about finding poutine in Toronto, is what V3 said. And I was like, okay. So I told him about the state of poutine as far as I knew it. Then I was like, if you want a really good burger, you should go to Holy Chuck's. The burgers there are fantabulous. So I basically caught on he was in Toronto, like, just as part of, like, a trip he's doing. So I thought, like, well, this is kind of dumb if I'm just telling him where to eat and I have some spare time. So I was like, yo, you want to hang out at the burger place? So I went and met up with him. It was pretty cool. And then while we were hanging out, he was telling me he saw the new Mortal Kombat figures at Electronics Boutique. And I was like, you what? So after we finished hanging out, I went straight down there to go take a look. And they had them at EB for like 20 Canadian, which is currently well under 20 American. So I thought, like, okay, let's do this. So I picked up the three. Now, I've already alluded to this. They are not super poseable. They are pretty poseable. They're just not super poseable. So I'll give the rundown. All three of them have got a really good ball jointed neck. They've all got a ball jointed waist, but it really is just a left and right swivel. And on Sub-Zero, his waist joint is buried beneath a lot of his soft plastic or soft PVC clothing sculpt. So on him, it's a lot harder to move it around. On Scorpion and Raiden, it's fine. They've all got a pin disc shoulder. Again, I think Sub-Zero suffers the most. Like, they can get their arms all the way out 180 degrees in a line, but Sub-Zero can't quite. Forward and backward movement's fine. They've got just a regular hinge elbow, goes 90 degrees. It swivels left and right as a bicep swivel. They've got like a wrist swivel and a wrist hinge because they've got swappable hands. Ball jointed hips, which are really good ball jointed hips because they can have the legs come together close as well as like go out far apart, so you can get the ninjas to look really ninja like. And there's a thigh swivel. The knees are just the elbows, so it bends just about 90 degrees, and the thigh swivel is just the way that the knee hinge pegs in. And then they've got ball-jointed ankles, but they're like the kind of ball-jointed ankles where the range is only about like 20 degrees, because it's just a straight-up ball socket cup that the foot is slid over. It's poseable enough for me to have fun. And then they all come with like interchangeable hands, which are a joy to swap. Like, they swap real easy. And just, you know, a couple accessories. Sub-Zero, in my opinion, is the weakest of the three. He just has, like, open hands, and then he's got gripping hands, and then he's got an ice hammer and an ice sword to grip, and that's it. And one of his open hands has a slot in it for an ice ball that is only coming with the exclusive versions of him, not the regular one, and I think that kind of sucks. I don't understand why his accessory count ended up so low, unless, like, the ice weapons cost a lot to produce. Scorpion's pretty neat. He's got, like, open hands and grippy hands, and then his grippy hands are because he just comes with a big-ass pair of swords. That's what Scorpion has now. The only bummer about the swords is I haven't found anywhere to store them on him. Like, there's nowhere to holster them.
Yes, there is, on his back.
And then he's got his Scorpion spears. He's got two of them. And the way they work is super cool. You pop it, like, when you pop his hand off, there's a peg on the hand. Mm-hmm. And then the Scorpion spear has a ring you slide over the peg, and then you peg the hand back in so that the chain is, like, coming out of the inside of his wrist. And it looks super cool. I got a couple pictures I took of these guys, so I'll send you a shot of that. Scorpion's only problem is that his face mask, for whatever reason, is separate and can come off. And the way that it attaches to his face is that there's like a socket in the shape of his nose. It sticks on fine, but as you pose him, if you start bumping his mask, it will fall off pretty easy. And the face that's sculpted underneath doesn't have the facial hair that he has in Mortal Kombat X, so it just looks kind of dumb. And I understand what they were kind of going for, but I feel like it's a bit of a wasted parts count at the end of the day.
Scorpion has facial hair?
In Mortal Kombat X, yes, in the story mode, he's become human again, and he has a sadness beard. But then he can also, like, turn into a skullhead.
Like Dom from Gears of War 2.
Kind of a little bit
looking for his wife the whole game.
A little bit more trim. No, he's Scorpion's whole story is my wife is dead. But yeah, the mask thing I'm not super into.
Sub-Zero is constantly, damn it, Scorpion. It's not her.
The hood on Scorpion's head is a separate soft PVC piece, which is kind of cool. Like, these guys have a lot of layered PVC for their clothing, which ends up having a really cool effect where they look real heavy set and solid, but they're like, it doesn't really get in the way of the posing that much, except for sometimes the shoulders. And none of them share parts, which is also super cool. Like, it's all 100% unique to each character. And given that, you know, Sub-Zero and Scorpion are in Wave 1, that kind of makes me happy. That's one of the upsides of modern Mortal Kombat, is that the ninjas all have, like, very unique looks outside of just being color-swap ninjas. But the posability on them is pretty great. I'm going to send you a wonderful picture I took by request of Captain Snoop, I believe.
I just want a movie-accurate reptile.
Well, I got the request of make them kiss, so I got them about as close as possible. Their chests were a bit too big, so they're like they couldn't get their faces together due to the size of their massive pectorals.
I have that problem.
Yeah, everyone has that problem, apparently. I got a lot of tweets about that. It's a common thing. But best figure of the wave by far, in my opinion, Raiden, the Blunder God. Number one, Mortal Kombat X Raiden just looks cool because he's Mortal Kombat 1 Raiden with a whole bunch of extra like navy and gold accoutrements over his normal costume because now he's an Elder God. And then the best part of this toy that took me totally by surprise is when I pulled him out of the package, like here, I'll send you a shot of him where he just looks cool and this shows off how the legs can kind of close together to look badass. I take him out of the package, his hat falls off, so his hat's removable. And it's like just a soft, grippy plastic. It left some like brown paint marks on his skull cap that he's got underneath the hat. I don't really care.
Are you sure it's removable and not just broken off?
Oh, no, it grips real well and it's very flexible, grippy. And the fun part of that is that it's very easy to put his hat on crooked. And let me tell you, nothing is funnier looking than a Raiden with a crooked hat. I've put his hat on at many different angles and it all sticks on real well. And I'm pretty sure it's meant to come off because like the whole hood underneath the hat is painted and everything. And there's like sculpting in there. So I really enjoy Raiden. He's got good accessories. Like he's got like a thunderball that can peg into one of his hands. He's got alternate hands that are like less angry and more splayed open. And he's got like a third pair of hands that are translucent blue with lightning bolts coming out of them. I think I got one shot of them here where he's shooting them at a robot. And these hands, I saw a review where someone broke the wrist hinge on the clear plastic hands, and I was a little worried about it. I would recommend if you get these, just move the wrist hinges before you plug them in to make sure everything's cool. But I love Raiden's accessories. They look super neat. And then I put Raiden onto a stand, and I got into this thing I started doing for about an hour on Twitter where, like, here, Seth, I'll show you, like, the two-step clever joke I did. So I'd post a picture of, like, you know, a toy looking all cool in like a low lit hard shadow area, looking like, you know, this guy's all like, oh, I'm gonna look real cool. And then I would follow up with a photo like this where I used a Tamashii stage to replicate Raiden's Superman human torpedo move, where he screams terrifying gibberish. And I did this a couple times. Here, Seth, I'm gonna keep sending you some of these. The next one was, If you want to check these out, remind me and I'll cross post all these into the thread if I haven't already. I did three of these. The first one was a Kamen Rider. Then the second one, I got some 3A action going with fighting Jesus Christ. And while I was posting these, I also found out a lot of people have very different interpretations of the noises Raiden makes when he does the human torpedo. And then I tried to up the ante, so I did one with.
I think how you wrote it out is pretty close to my memory of it being like a lot of.
I found a YouTube loop of him saying the noise over and over again, and I sat there listening to it, trying to onomatopoeia the thing out. I also busted out MP10 Optimus to show, you know, how much smaller Raiden is. These are 6-inch toys, and then Optimus is about to give a speech about freedom. And then Huggy Bubbly happens. I just like the idea of like drunk crooked hat Raiden Supermaning into shots and ruining people's moments.
And then apparently everyone's just a little startled.
Yep.
And we're actually very startled and not like being injured in any way.
No, they're just imagine like, if someone's
touching me.
Yeah, imagine if someone just like materialized behind you shrieking and gibberish and like ran headfirst into your butt or something.
Man, I have dreams about that.
But like, so these toys, like they're not martial arts posable, but, and I don't know if this is like coming off kind of as a dig. I like Mortal Kombat, but like a lot of Mortal Kombat characters kind of use made up martial arts. So like they you know,
telling me Baraka isn't like doing real sword arm martial arts?
As long as I can get Sub-Zero to like power squat and wave his hands around in front of him, like I feel like I'm getting what I need out of these.
Are you telling me there isn't a real move like Liu Kang does where you bicycle kick through the air?
Well, there is, but you got to make the noises he makes. You know, the noises.
I don't remember where they are. Okay, I don't remember the noises.
It's like Raiden's noises, but it's more high-pitched and full of more consonants.
Oh.
I'm so stoked about the second set of these. Like, these are fun. And it really helps that they are, like, running at this, like, this $20 tops price point. Don't pay more than $20 for these by any means, but like 20 Canadian, you know, like just under 20 American for these. It's such a nice sweet spot, especially for like the sculpt and the paint and then the posability they do have, which is like, it's just, you know, it's not super posable, but it's enough to make them look dumb.
Way more posable than those Breaking Bad figures that Toys R Us had marked up to, I think, over $25.
Yeah. And at the end of the day, I finally have Mortal Kombat toys in the 21st century that I feel good about. Because, holy crap, if you've ever followed me on Twitter, you know I spent years using Jazzwares Mortal Kombat as a punching bag when I was in a bad mood. And
I was trying to remember who did those more recent figures that I would see, like from a distance, I saw the multi-pack of, like, here's all the ninjas in one big box. And I was like, all the ninjas, and I pick it up and look at it and go, they look horrible.
Yeah,
I'm gonna just put this back down.
Or they're Raiden, who was like using the same buck from the mid 2000s, where his shoulder line like happens a full like half foot down from where human shoulders happen. Like, you know, these are not superposable toys. You can pick them apart in a number of ways. They all have little things, you know, niggling little things that are problematic, but they run for such a nice price point for what they are. And their bodies are sculpted to look like human bodies, which really helps. I really enjoy them.
I would be tempted to get at least Scorpion if I come across him.
Yeah, he's like, you know, Scorpion's face mask is really the only big bummer about the toy. And worst case, you can just glue it on.
Have they shown another wave, like a wave two? Who's in wave two?
Wave two is Quan Chi, Kitana, and Kotal Kahn.
If they get around to a Johnny Cage and he can't do full-on splits, then somebody needs to get fired.
So that's the nice thing about the hip designs. As long as Johnny Cage does not have like a giant loincloth for some reason, he should be able to do the splits. The problem with Wave 1 is that Scorpion, Sub-Zero, and Raiden all have a loincloth of some kind.
Did you say Kitana was Wave 2?
Yeah. Okay. They're all in the Mortal Kombat X design, so they're, you know, they're not like classic, just simple, like, here's people in Halloween costumes. But
was it Mortal Kombat 2 or 3 that introduced Melina?
That was 2. Kombat 2 introduced both Lady Ninjas.
Yeah, Melina was my jam.
Yeah.
2. Like, I've never been a good fighting game player. Like, I don't know all the combos and counting frames and all that nonsense. But I was able to do, like, a special kind of button mashing with Melina where I could beat a lot of people just by being completely bananas with her, like, teleports and just, like, constantly teleporting and then throwing a sign and then teleporting and just a very special, like taking button mashing to a professional level almost.
That's like playing Eddie in Tekken 3. You know, mash the kick buttons and just learn the pattern of mashing, the arc of mash you have to do to make him do all his capoeira stuff. The other exciting thing about Mezco and Mortal Kombat is someone tweeted them saying, hey, Mortal Kombat X just had, like, classic Scorpion come out as a skin. Are you going to do a classic Scorpion toy? And then their response was, currently we're thinking of doing classic Mortal Kombat in 112, if anything, but we'll see. Mm-hmm. And I was like, they've not said anything about 112 in a long time, but they said something there. I would be super stoked if they did, like, I mean, Mortal Kombat 1 is a smaller cast, but, like, 1 and 2 in one, like, start introducing those, like, first designs of those characters in 112 Collective could be friggin' cool. And, like, I feel like they'd be less expensive 112 Collective toys because they don't have to come with a gajillion accessories. Like, Liu Kang is just a man in pants. As long as he has, like, a stand that lets him do his bicycle kick.
Yeah.
You know, like all these Mortal Kombat characters in the 112 Collective buck would be super cool. Anyway.
Yeah, and, like, you get three of them off of one mold, because you get Sub-Zero, Scorpion, and Reptile.
Yeah, like, back
with
then.
With absolutely no variation in the sculpt. You just change the color of their little ninja deal.
Yeah, and just give them different accessories.
And I wouldn't feel ripped off with that. I would be like, no, that's exactly what they're supposed to be.
Yeah. Like 112 Collective doing classic Mortal Kombat 1 and 2 characters, I think would be so cool.
Yeah, because then this is all you gotta do for accessories. You do Scorpion Spear. You do, like, an ice ball that, like, plugs into Sub-Zero's hand or something. And then you do, like, a face swap for a Reptile.
Yeah, and a head swap for Scorpion, even. Like
yeah, yeah, give, there you go. Give them, call it in there.
Give them all, like, their special move accessories. Give them all a fatality accessory. Like, you know, I guess pick Scorpion to be the premium. Give him the skeleton. Or give him or Sonya Blade the skeleton. Give Kano, like, a heart for him to hold. And just give, like, give...
Are you giving Sub-Zero a head with a spine attached?
You give Sub-Zero...
Everyone's got detachable heads anyway. You just have the spine, and then you plug whatever head on you want to the spine.
Yes!
You're welcome, Mezco. We're making you billions.
And just, like, have some blood spurts you can stick into joint sockets if you pull parts off. There's a company doing 1/6 scale.
Every figure in the line comes with a rib cage for when guys explode into 9 rib cages.
There's a company doing 1/6 scale Mortal Kombat toys, and that's what they do. Is like they had Kung Lao come out, and he comes with just this gigantic blood splatter you can wrap around someone's body to make it look like he sliced them in half with his hat. And then, like, their Sub-Zero came out, and he comes with, like, a Kung Lao head with a spine dangling out of it, but then you can swap Kung Lao's head for just a basic skull.
There you go.
You know, that's the thing to replicate, I think. Anyway, one last little dig. Wave 2 has Kitana. When that figure comes out, Mezco will have, in 1 year, put out 100% more female Mortal Kombat characters than Jazzwares ever put out ever in all the many years that they had the license. And that's going to be a sweet little dig when it happens. I'm trying to think if there's anything else off topic I got of note here. Not off the top of my head. So I'm just going to roll with this as being my what we gots. Unless I remember something, then I'll start yelling about it.
Okay.
Seth, let's talk about what you got this week.
Okay, I got a couple things. Or maybe it was just one thing. Oh, no, I don't. Now I can't remember.
Oh, no!
One thing I did get, I do remember, is I got that Rocketeer figure.
Oh, the Funko one!
From Funko, the Rocketeer.
I want to get it, but I'm scared of getting it.
So one immediate disappointment I had was, like, all the pictures I'd seen from it, like the official pictures, like as what is listed on Big Bad Toy Store, the actual colors on it are not that rich.
Aww.
Like, his leather jacket is not a nice, rich, leathery brown that it is in the pictures. It's much lighter. Just all the colors seem a bit lighter. If you've gotten past Funko Legacy figures, like the Game of Thrones figures, you probably have a good idea of what to expect.
Well,
so it's like on a 3-star scale, like bad, okay, and great.
Yeah.
It's okay.
The only thing that bummed me out is I know I saw all the chatter about how they started Game of Thrones with clear plastic and joints, and then they stopped, but then Rocketeer has clear plastic joints again.
At least where its head, his head connects.
That sucks.
Because it popped off his head to switch the heads, and it was clear plastic. I was like, ooh, that seems like a bad idea.
Yeah, that's real dumb.
Yeah, so his So on his jacket, like, there's the big, like, front flap that's, like, all buttoned up around three sides, across the top and down the sides. So to make that look right, it hangs, the bottom edge of it hangs down past his waist, and that completely blocks his ab crunch and almost kind of pushes him back, so he is almost leaning back. So that's a little bit of a bummer. The unhelmeted head is kind of flat looking, but I think that's a that's something I've seen in like all the Game of Thrones figures. Like Funko isn't good at painting heads up, so they all look kind of flat and wax figure looking. But you know, the sculpt is good. It looks like the Rocketeer. They didn't goof up the helmet or anything, so that's fine. And it's just okay. And that's what I was expecting.
Yeah.
Like one thing that I think would have been really nice for them to have done is if they articulated the neck in a way to where you could really knock his head back to put him into a flying pose if you had a stand that allowed you to lift him up.
Like give it a dedicated hinge.
Yeah, but you just can't get his head far enough back to put him into a good flying pose like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's okay. Don't go in expecting a lot. And if you don't need it to do a lot, like you just need it to be okay, then you'll be all right. You'll be happy enough.
Yeah.
It's good enough.
I personally, I don't want to spend the $20 with the clear plastic joints because, like, I just don't feel like my dice roll is going to go well. I got one of those feelings.
Yeah. Like, I'm not going to be swapping the head so much that hopefully it won't become an issue. I mean, I'm mostly just going to have the helmet on because the helmet's the whole jam.
Yeah.
Without the helmet on, then he's just like this guy in a jacket.
Hi!
So I think, unless something jumps up and reminds me, here, let me look at this.
I saw...
Is there something else in there?
I saw...
Yeah, I think that's the only toy that I got, but I got some other things.
I saw a Funko Firefly toy at my comic shop. I saw a giant wall of unbought Janes with hats, and I laughed a little bit. It's like everyone has abandoned the previous exclusive. They're like, nope. No.
Yeah, like I had to make a decision on that. It's like I either got to get all of these or none of these, and I think I've decided to get none of them.
I also heard the Firefly ones had the clear plastic joints too, and I was like, well, you're just piling up reasons for me to keep walking away from legacy stuff.
Yeah, like, sucks. Funko was so close to doing really good figures.
Yeah,
they're really, really close.
Praetorian John has some amazing pictures that I think it was him has some amazing looking pictures of that Rocketeer toy just in different poses, and it's like, man, I want to, that looks like a fun toy, but I just don't want to deal with, you know, the knife hanging over his head of like, these joints may also explode one day.
Yeah, hopefully that's not gonna happen. I don't want to have to worry about it.
Yeah.
So some other like kind of things that I want to mention. So I had a Fitbit for a couple of years. I had one of the old Ultras, which is a little one of the little pocket jammies. That never all the way worked. Like it was supposed to count how many flights of stairs you climbed, and that never counted a single flight of stairs ever. And I would like go out of my way periodically to just go up and down staircases. Because like around here, you can go months and never encounter a staircase. It's California suburbs. Everything's one story. And then, like, I had gone with my dad to City Hall in San Francisco because that's where he was born, and he needed to get a copy of his birth certificate. So while he was standing in line dealing with that, I just kept going up and down all the staircases of the building, and not a single time did it register footsteps. But a few months ago, like, mid-December, it broke and it just stopped working. And then my girlfriend and I have been talking about, like, we got to get eating better and moving more and try to lose some weight and stop being just feeling gross. Because, like, I have lost, like, about 30 pounds. And I've put it all on, at least. Like, I refuse to get on a scale because I don't want to know how much damage I've done.
I know the but feeling.
I've at least gained it all back, maybe gotten a little more. So it was like, yeah, we got to do something about this. Let's get new Fitbits and start paying attention to calories and how much we're moving around and all that good stuff. So I got a Surge, which is the most expensive possible option right now. So it's like a watch. It has a watch display, like a digital display. And it's kind of neat. Like, it has like four or five different displays you could choose from. Some of them are like more like cool, fancy looking than others. I'm using kind of a basic one right now because it also shows the date. It's the only one that shows the date. And I constantly have to write the date down at work, and I can't remember ever what the date is. Like, I got to write the date down at least, like, 8 times a day, at least, at the very minimum. And every time I go, I have no idea what number today is. But it actually counts stairs. I could go up and down stairs, and, like, it pays attention. It's got a bunch of other cool features. Like, when I jump on my bike, I press like 2 buttons and now it's in bicycling mode and it syncs to my phone. So it uses my phone's GPS to track the distance I traveled and then calculate my speed. So it gives me an average speed of the entire bike ride and my max speed and how many calories I burned during said ride. And then I could go onto the website and see a map of where I traveled, and it's really cool, and it does all kinds of cool stuff. My girlfriend got a different model. I forget what it's called, but it's like the next one down. So it's also a wristband with a much smaller display. It does display the time, but it basically does everything. It doesn't have, I don't think it has the different exercise modes like mine does, but she just didn't want the big watch face. She wanted something thinner. And then another cool thing that the one I got does is, I already forgot. Like, I remembered, oh yeah, the other thing, and then I forgot what it was already. what the hell was that? Oh, it has a heart rate monitor. It does that too. And crap, now I forgot the other thing that I was trying to remember. Maybe I'll remember again. I don't know. But it's good. It's a big improvement over the thing that I had.
Yeah.
And it works. It's not broken like the thing that I had is now. So I'm going to try to get those 30 pounds off again.
They're a transient 30 pounds. You get them off, put them back on, but, you know, you're putting on 30 new ones. You get to go through the journey and then get off again.
Yeah. Well, I knew I was chubbing up again. Like, I knew I was sliding, backsliding, and putting weight back on. But, like, when my pants got so tight they were uncomfortable, then I was like, oh, damn it.
Yeah.
I refuse to go up a weight or a waistband size again. I gotta just hold on with these tight pants until they get loose again.
If they're tight enough, they'll just squeeze everything back out. And it'll all be...
Well, I'm down to the last loop on my belt. Like, I'm going the wrong way on this belt. So yeah, we gotta get going on that and fix this situation.
Yeah.
Oh man, then I downloaded the Fallout Shelter.
I've been playing that a whole lot on my phone.
Oh, it's pretty much conquered my life.
Yeah,
I'm hiding around corners at work and like opening it up real quick and collecting all my resources and then like sending someone out into the wasteland, bring this person back, and then like turn, shove the phone back in my pocket before the boss sees.
I've got 70 some dwellers now, and I'm starting to realize, because I heard about this, and I'm like, yeah, this might be the case. Like, once you clear like 60, 70 dwellers, unless you've like just not got anyone who's a superstar that can go out and survive in the wasteland for a good 20 hours, it's becoming a bit of an easy game compared to earlier. And it doesn't feel like there's anything there to challenge me now that I have like I'm getting close to unlocking the Nuka-Cola room, and like
oh yeah, I'm I think I crossed 90 today.
Yeah, like, I don't know about you, just like once I crossed 60, I just felt like I had this well-oiled machine that was kind of unstoppable. And like now, like when raiders come, raiders barely make it through my front door.
Oh, they don't get past my front room. I just have two pipe-hitting badasses with like sick guns.
Yeah.
Waiting in that vault room door, the raiders break through the door, and then they get murdered.
Yeah,
they're not even a thing. Rad roaches are a bigger pain in the ass.
my two badasses are like my two dweller people. I could make more badasses, but like here's the other thing I fit with the game, and I like it. It's a good game, but I would love for a UI upgrade so I could just look at all my dweller's equipment and unequip everyone and re-equip everyone from the base. Because I started off the game just sort of throwing outfits and weapons on people, and now I don't know who has what anymore.
Well, I've been moving through and taking stuff, like, going through and going, okay, what does this guy got? Like, what gun does this guy have? Oh, a rusty BB gun that I threw on him because there was rad roaches, and I just had to, it was the only thing I had, and I was just throwing guns onto idiots. Okay, take that off, put this lever action hunting rifle on, and then sell the BB gun, it's gone. It doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah, and anything that does, like, less than 4 damage, I'm just selling now.
Yeah.
As a habit. But yeah, like I don't have the patience to go through everybody and figure out who has what. So I just have these weird characters now who I recognize by their outfits. And then, like, what I've been doing is I'm just throwing everyone through through special training regimens of just, like,
yeah,
is this maxed out yet? No? Well, you're going to live in there for the next week until you max it out.
I have rooms full of dudes that have just been lifting weights for 2 days now. Well, the thing that's slowing me down is, and I have 96 people right now. The thing that's slowing down my progress is I want to build rooms faster than I have money.
Yeah.
And last night I was in a bad situation because I had moved a bunch of people to work on their strength, which took a bunch of people out of my power rooms, and now my power rooms weren't generating as much electricity, which was then affecting my other rooms because I was constantly having blackouts in rooms, and then I wasn't producing enough food, so now my dweller's health was dropping, and then I like checked on one room and there was just a lady dead on the floor because I guess she starved to death, and it took me a big hunk of last night and into today to rebalance everything.
Yeah.
But I couldn't just start building more generators because I didn't have enough money and I didn't really have anybody to put in there anyway because everybody else is already doing other stuff they're better suited for. So, but I'm kind of getting back on top of it. I actually want to demolish a bunch of rooms.
I did
to, like,
that.
Realign stuff. But man, that's like such a waste of, because you don't get nearly as much caps back as you put into it.
I did not really
do the standard video game thing of, oh, you bought this for 100 and you want to sell it, you'll get 50. It's not even half.
That's like 10.
Yeah.
Yeah. I did that super early on. Cause I, like, this is when I only had like 3 or 4 levels to my vault. And I was like, you know, I followed the tutorial building too literally, and I was like,
yeah.
I was like, I need to fix this. I'm just going to eat the couple thousand caps I'm losing.
Oh, I ditched my first vault almost immediately after finishing the tutorial when I realized, oh, I could put 3 of the same thing in a row and make a big, giant version, and now I've blocked off all these areas. I'm just going to start over.
I didn't want to start over, so I just, like, I was like, I could either start over or I'll just lose a bunch of money now and just keep, like, some of the cool stuff I have, and it ended up being worth it. I got really lucky on an early lunchbox, and I got, like, a level 22, like, power-armored lady with, like, a laser gun on one of my first lunchboxes. She's, like, one of my star players now, because basically they gave me a level 22 when I started the game almost, so I was like, all right, well, you're gonna go live out in the wasteland and bring me back, like, 50 pieces of equipment constantly.
One of my early lunchboxes, I got Dr. Lee, who she's like my head science lady. Like, she was a high level with an almost maxed out intelligence, and she's just like the center of my med station and science lab.
Yeah, I got Star Paladin Cross, And then I now have two characters who have three dogs outfit, but I don't have three dog yet.
I have the sheriff from Megaton.
Oh man, really?
Yeah,
I keep getting so tempted by the stupid lunchboxes just for the name characters. I know that's like a dumb reason. Like, I haven't put any money into the game because I always refuse to if I don't have to. But I always sit there going like, I want more lunchboxes to just get more character cards.
I put a little money in. You're not guaranteed to get a character card.
Yeah.
Might get a character card. I have three of like the special named characters. And then I've gotten other dwellers, like higher level dwellers with higher level stats. Mm-hmm. But like when you go to that screen that shows you like these are the special ones, I only have three of the special ones.
I've only got the one. But I got two sets of Three Dogs clothing somehow. So
now, is it called Three Dogs clothing, or you just recognize it?
No, it's called like Three Dogs outfit.
Oh man, I don't have any of those.
And it gives them like a plus charisma and a plus something else. It's basically designed for them to run the radio room.
Oh, so I got a dude from a card, and he showed up in like a Pope outfit. Like he's got like a Pope looking hat.
All right.
And like these white robes. And he's like the leader of my radio room, like my main radio room. I'm like putting together a second one. And then I've outfitted the other five characters in that radio room with initiate robes. So I like have like this little religious cult running the radio station.
There's something weird about this game. Like, you know, if you think about what you are doing as the overseer to these people, especially when I got into my phase of like, I'm just going to breed the two superstars with everyone they can breed with. And now I have like, I realized at one point I was breeding children with their own parents.
Oh, I am absolutely certain I have inadvertently bred brothers and sisters and parents and children.
Yeah.
I can't keep track of all these idiots.
I can't either. But then I think about what I'm saying. Like, I can't keep track of them. I'm just going to force them to breed. I'm like, wow. Suddenly the whole world of Fallout makes more sense to me now. putting me in the role of the overseer. I'm like, yeah, this, they're all monsters. Of course they are.
Well, the very first baby that I got, I changed the name. It's the only one I've changed the name for. By the time I had more babies, I was like, who cares? That name's fine. Whatever. I'm not paying attention to any of these people's names anyway. Like, I remember Dr. Lee because she's like the base of my science area. But that and the first one I named are the only ones that I specifically know the names of. And the one that I named, I changed the name to Dude Rock Slab.
All right.
And every now and then I'll like grab somebody to like move them to a different room or move them to a room for mating. And their last name will be Rockslab. I'm like, hey, it's the descendant of Dude. Hey, good old Jimmy Rockslab. Hey, Sir Rockslab over here.
I think one of the most prolific names in my vault is Lord, the Lord clan. Patricia Lord is out there somewhere. And I think that she just bred a few hundred times. And it's like, we're the Lord vault. It's a good game. I like it.
Yeah, it's nuts.
I
kind of wish it had some sort of hook to feed into Fallout 4 when it came out.
I feel like I've seen the whole game, despite having a few more rooms to unlock.
Yeah.
And I wish there was like the idea, like the hope of like something on the horizon for when my vault becomes all powerful.
Well, I can imagine them adding to it.
Yeah.
But. Yeah, like, I think what I heard was 200 is the maximum number of dwellers you could have.
And so it's like, once you hit 100, you've unlocked all the rooms, and it makes me feel like, okay, with all the rooms, the next goal is to hit 200 and have a self-sustaining vault. And by then, ideally, the developers will have come up with a task for you to do once you're close to the end of that road. Maybe like, hey, now you can go assault another vault yourself! Or something. I don't know.
Your friend's vault.
Vault PvP.
Yeah. Well, I'm kind of surprised that there isn't any sort of like interaction with other players.
Especially given how you name your vault.
Trade people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Trade equipment. Like do little raids or something. That'll be fun. Like, if you open up your game, then it's like, oh, you're under attack, and, like, a bunch of my dudes try to bust into your vault and cause trouble.
Yeah, because, like, you can have, like, what, up to three vaults, and you can name them all, and I'm like, I get it in terms of, well, your first vault's probably going to be damaged unless you catch on super fast how you're supposed to build them. But I'm like, what kind of is the point of having three separate vaults? You can't really build them differently from each other that much.
What number is your vault?
884.
Oh, mine's 555.
I went with my birth month.
Oh, five's my lucky number.
Three of them means it's triple lucky.
Yeah.
Yeah. Super
double lucky. Triple three dog lucky.
Ow.
I thought I had another point to make about it, but now I forget. Whatever. So I think that's it.
Yeah. The only other thing I can really talk about, just a quick update, I've caught up on all the Mad Men I'm able to watch on Netflix, so I'm just waiting for Netflix to get season 7.2.
I hope you're ready for 20 minutes talking about TV shows.
Well, okay. I want to know.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think what's your speculation on how the series ends for Dawn?
Mad Men pseudo spoiler alert.
Where do you think Dawn's going to be? Is he alive? Is he dead?
So
did he travel to the moon?
I was on Twitter when the show ended.
Oh, so you know what happened.
Well, I don't know all the specifics, but I know that, like, he's not dead by the last episode.
Uh-huh.
Because people talked about seeing him do stuff.
Yeah.
I
thought it would have been dumb if he was dead at the end.
That would have been pointless.
There was speculation from, like, season one that the opening with, like, the silhouette man falling.
Yeah.
Like, that was telegraphing the end. Like, the series was going to end with Dawn jumping out of his office window.
In season one, I could see it, but by the time we're at season seven, there's no reason for the character to do that.
Uh-huh.
So, like, yeah. I thought Pete Campbell was going to kill himself at least three times. But, like,
I love the arc of the Pete Campbell character, because he's such a weaselly little dirtbag in season one.
Yeah.
And by the last season, he's, like, one of the only good people.
But
he's happy. He's, like, he's not getting involved in everybody else's nonsense. Like, other people are, like, all, like, trying to undermine and murder each other, and Pete's like, we're all pals, everything's great, I'm going back to California.
Yeah, he's become my favorite character in the show, and I say this as, like, part of the reason why he's my favorite character is, even now in the final season, he still is pretty much a scumbag. But, like, whenever he does scummy stuff, the world of the show takes a dump on his head and kicks him in the teeth within an episode. Like, he always gets a proper comeuppance for whatever it is he does, while showing these hints of, like, every now and then, like, you know, there's a hint to someone good in there. Oh, but you're Pete Campbell, so no matter what you're doing, you're still going to be a scumbag about it. And then the universe backhands him, and I'm like, I feel satisfied.
Yeah, well, like, when Dawn was exiled in that one season, and now he's back, but he's under, like, super probation, and everyone just wants him to quit anyway. Pete's like, sweet, Dawn's back. Dawn, I want you to work on this thing. And everyone else is like, are you sure? What about this? He's like, no, it's fine. Dawn's great.
Yeah.
It's like, he just doesn't even care. He's just like, no, everything's fine.
I also love his receding hairline, because he is literally, like, he has turned into a slug. And that's the best way I can describe how he looks by season seven, like a human slug. And it's perfect. It's perfectly capped off by whatever scene it was when he's, like, coming down the staircase all mad. He just slips and goes, like, butt first down two stairs. And it's like, you human slug.
Okay, dude. Okay. Did you get any Twitter on what happens to Betty? Like, where Betty's story ends? Like,
no, all I know is
okay, that... Okay, speculate.
Okay. I think she runs for office and fails, is what I'm expecting.
Okay.
I want to throw it out there, because I've caught wind that a lot of people thought that January Jones was a bad actor. I gotta vehemently disagree. I think she's probably one of my favorite actors in the show, because she plays the character extremely nuancedly and well. But the thing is, you got to accept what the character of Betty is, which is that...
Oh, she's awful.
Yeah, she's a child.
She's a child, yeah.
Yeah, and if you realize that she's a child, holy crap, January Jones does an amazing job, like, reverting to these very, like, really specific tones of, like, a petulant child in the body of a grown woman. And it's a really well-done performance, in my opinion.
Okay, where do you think Pete is at the end of the series?
He hasn't killed himself yet, and he's too happy to kill himself. I think he's going to be probably the happiest guy of them all. Like, he's going to... Fortune will smile upon him finally at the end of the show, but then in the last second, a bird will poop on his head. That's where I think he's going to end up.
Okay.
I think Ken Cosgrove is going to turn into a James Bond villain, because he already looks like one. He's got the eye patch. He looks like a villain. He looks like a super villain.
It's okay. Like, I don't want to blow anything, but it's, you're kind of sniffing up the right tree. I don't want to make any comment on Betty or Pete, like whether you're close or completely off the reservation. But no, it's going to be like, I wanted to get your guesses before you see it.
Yeah.
Just to see like if you're anywhere near where things end.
Like overall, I think that I'm fortunate to be able to watch the show at my own pace, and in a row. Cause I feel like I said this before, I felt like the show, the first two seasons were fine, but they mostly existed to make me know who these characters were before their journeys really got kickstarting, going places I enjoyed, like season three onwards.
Uh-huh.
It's worth checking out though. It's not the masterpiece one could call Breaking Bad. But in there are a few ways that I feel like Mad Men has been a more satisfying viewing at times than Breaking Bad, mostly because a lot of bad characters. And the thing about Mad Men I found that I really like is that when people do bad stuff in Mad Men, and everyone in this show does bad stuff, they get theirs really fast, and then the show just keeps going. Like, I rarely find myself sitting there going, like, you know, for an entire season and a half, like, I can't wait until this guy just gets it. I can't wait. Whoever needs to get it in Mad Men gets it, like, before I even find myself wanting them to get it. And I really like that aspect of it. There's something just ingrainedly satisfying about it. It's like the best way to deliver a story about a bunch of terrible people is that they aren't coasting through life all happy. Like, their lives all suck too, in very entertaining ways.
Okay, real quick, two more characters. Peggy.
I hearing the rumors about people saying, why don't you just do a spinoff show with Peggy? Like, I feel like that's where she's going. Like, she's crafted to be an uplifting, like, moving into the 70s with, you know, a smile on her face kind of character. Like, I feel like something bad might happen to her, but I feel like she's going to come out all right.
Yeah, my understanding is AMC was pushing Matthew Weiner to do a Peggy spinoff, and he wants nothing to do with any spinoff. He wants to work on anything else but Mad Men.
Yeah.
Like, he did that. That's done. He's moving on.
I think he needs to move on. I don't have anything against him, but, like, I feel like he needs to not be working on Mad Men anymore. He's not a Vince Gilligan who can, like, just switch to a fresh perspective on his own universe.
Well, like, and Vince isn't writing Better Call Saul.
Yeah.
It's another guy from the Mad Men, or from, yeah, he brought this guy over from Mad Men. It's another guy from the Breaking Bad team that is more directly running Better Call Saul.
But, okay.
You know, Vince is involved. He's like the main producer or whatever. And then Joan. And then we'll stop.
I want Joan's story to end super happy, but I feel like the ebbs and flows of her storyline mean that no matter how well she may be doing, something real sad's going to happen to her before the show's over.
Mm-hmm.
Here's my hope for season 7.2. I hope that we're done with Glenn, because...
Oh, creepy-ass Glenn.
Glenn was kind
that's the creepiest freaking kid. Oh, man.
I liked super creepy makes youngest my
skin
Glenn.
Crawl.
Youngest Glenn.
Young Glenn creeped me out. That kid's a creep.
Yeah, but like when he started doing the phone calls from boarding school and started showing up, from that point onwards, as an actor, like, and I know why he's in the show, people have told me, but like, he just stuck out like a sore thumb as like this just weak ass performance that he felt like some guy who walked on the set. And I know that he is there partly due to being related to people running the show. And unfortunately, it feels like that's the only reason why he's there.
No, I can't remember if the last time you see Glenn is in the first half of season 7 or the second half. Do you remember what the last time you saw Glenn was?
Yeah, it's when he went to the what was it? Sally went to a boarding school and then she called Glenn over. Glenn brought like a scumbag buddy called Rolo who needed to be punched in the face, and he got punched in the face.
Okay, there's okay. Then it's in the second half of season 7 that
damn it
that Glenn's story ends. Well, all the characters have to end, like,
or... I guess Glenn could just go away and I wouldn't mind, like yeah,
what if Glenn gets murdered in the episode? Sally just like the way Peggy out,
just sticks the way
Peggy
face.
Yeah, the way Peggy accidentally stabbed that dude in the stomach, I forget his name, like Sally does it on purpose.
That Sally would become my favorite character in the show, probably.
At that point. Already one of my favorite characters.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I like Sally. She's
fantastic actor too. Which yeah. And that's part of the reason why Glenn irritates me so much is that she is a really good actor, and it only serves to make him look worse.
Yeah.
In a way that like
he's always really stiff. Like he stood very stiff.
Yeah. And it worked when he was a little kid being creepy at Betty, because I was like, well, he's a little kid and this all kind of works. But then the older he got, the less it felt like a creepy kid and the more it felt like just a bad actor. And I also felt less forgiving because I'm like, well, you're aging and you're getting more experience, but your performance is somehow getting worse. And like, stop showing up.
Okay, well, if it makes you feel better, there's not much Glenn.
Every time I saw Glenn, I was like, I really want to just skip over to some wacky Roger scene now, please. Like, just give me the antithesis of this.
Okay, what happens to Roger at the end, then?
I won't be surprised if he ends up dead before the 70s. I don't know if the show will kill him off, but I feel like if anyone's going to get killed off in the second half of season 7, it might be him. Seems okay. like his writing is more on the wall than anyone else's. But yeah, it's been a cool ride. And just before we close out here, I watched another TV show, which is fairly lauded right now on the internet. And I really enjoyed it. I'm not going to say what it was or what it is yet. I want to see how long I can keep this to my chest. I've been watching this.
Can you tell me off mic?
Yeah, I can tell you off mic.
I can't stand it.
I've also revealed it elsewhere quietly.
No.
But no one seems to have noticed in the greater social media, which is making me all giddy because I'm like, I have secrets. And it's not anything that's really worth keeping a secret. This would be like if I was keeping Mad Men close to my chest, like, I don't want anyone to find out I watch Mad Men. But I'm curious how long
I can... Is it the Gilmore Girls? Is that why you don't want anyone to know?
I have to edit that out. I'm sorry. Anyway...
Okay, here's a question that I wanted to ask while you were talking about the Mortal Kombat stuff. Yeah. So you could cut this out if it is something you were going to do and you wanted to keep it a surprise, or if it's such an awesome idea you want to do it and keep it as a surprise. Are you going to do a video review of the Mortal Kombat dudes?
I am.
Okay. Are you going to slide your own face in the corner of the screen and go toasty?
I don't know if there's a way I could do that that wouldn't make me hate myself.
Well, now you really have to do it.
I don't know.
Gotta do it, man. Come on.
I could feel like such a scumbag, pandering scumbag if I do that.
Well, you gotta do it in a way that, like, everybody knows.
I don't know how, though. Like, that's why I wouldn't want to do it. I don't know the way that it wouldn't make me feel bad. Like,
well, you have the words that come up on the screen like threaten to murder you or something.
I don't know.
Or like the words that pop up on the screen, quit for the rest of the the video. Like, they're just, I'm done. And then you don't see the words again for the rest of the video.
This whole review is complete garbage. I'm out of here.
Yeah, I just can't do this anymore. See you later. Okay, and then before we go, I want to show you some pictures.
Oh, man.
Okay. Okay, so there's a company here in this area that they make milk. They're called Clover.
Okay.
Right? Clover milk. It's very... It's ubiquitous around here. You can't get away from it. They have billboards all over the place, and they have a mascot named Clo. Clo is a cow.
Okay.
A creepy-ass looking cow. It's one of the worst mascots ever. And they have billboards all over the place, and they have these pictures on the sides of their trucks and t-shirts and all this stuff. And then, like, here's a collection of Clo billboards.
All right.
So take a look at these. And deal with it.
Clover, the only milk with love in it. California Dreamin' Agriculture. Happily Helfer After?
Clow Ahead, Milk My Day.
Amazing Graze. Deja Moo, All Clover Again.
So Clo is painting a picture? It's like a landscape with a pitcher of milk in the middle, and it says pitcher of health.
Oh, man. I think I'm...
And then this one where it closed like a pharaoh, and it says Tutankhamun.
Well, that's been episode 363 of...
Clo's laying in this field of grass, and it says, Amazing Graze.
Yep, that's because that sounds like Amazing Grace, but cows are want to graze, which is when they chew on grass multiple times in their cud and feed on the grass in the field. I'm getting more distracted by this gigantic Pinterest thing crawling up the bottom of the screen saying there's more to see.
Yeah, Pinterest is the prick. It gets to a point where you can't scroll anymore. It doesn't let you.
Yeah, and I'm like, what are you hiding from me? More garbage puns? So I go, continue. It's like, hey, why don't you make a Pinterest account? I'm like, well, guess what? You just put me off it entirely. Because I'm just trying to look at dumb pictures of cow jokes. And you're like, make an account.
See, there weren't any new Clo puns for years. And then recently there was like this new rush of them. And... Like, I've overheard people, like, in the wild talking, like, oh, there's all these new Clo pictures. I thought they stopped doing that. It's like, oh, they just got, like, a whole bunch of new puns submitted. Like, they were taking submissions. Oh, great. I love those.
It's become nostalgic, right? So now the people who grew up on Clo are old enough to work in that field. And they're like, I'm working in advertising, but my dream is to work on Clo. I got all these puns built up. It's like with Transformers, when all the Transformers fans who were kids became adults who worked on Transformers, except with Clo.
Yeah, and then I thought, I know somebody who really appreciates a good pun.
Yep, I certainly do. I appreciate good ones.
You should come visit. Sonoma will drive you around, look at the billboards.
I'm going to go close seeing, bird seeing, Clo seeing. I don't... Oh, Seth, I think we should close this one up. We should close
this one up. Now, do you see how creepy looking Clo is?
Well, yeah.
They have, like, walk-around mascot costumes that, like, show up at, like, events.
Does the mouth open and there's just, like, a giant grinder inside so you can, like...
Maybe. I just haven't seen it happen. But, yeah. God, it's a horrifying image.
Just the mouth, and then, slowly opens with a metallic whirring, and just the mascot stuffs a live chicken inside, and then there's blood everywhere.
Chicken. Children.
Yeah, start small. Well, thanks for joining us today, Seth.
Yeah.
Episode 363 is over. This is the part where just if, you know, people who may have tuned out, because we went a bit off topic. This is where I need all of you who are still here to convince them that we said some real cogent points about Transformers at the end of the show.
Yeah.
So then they're like, damn it, now I've got to go find where they talked about it. And then they're just going to hear all these stupid Clo puns. And we'll have double ruined someone's day. stay tuned for more.
you don't like wrestling talk, I hope you like Mad Men talk, because boy howdy.
I hope so too. Next week is San Diego Comic Con, but it's late in the week, so we might not have seen stuff before we record again. I don't know. Maybe we'll delay next week's until whenever after the Transformers panels happen. I'll figure something out. I might forget about all this. But holy crap, this month is pretty busy.
Just blow it off.
We've got SDCC stuff, and then TFCon happens, and we may be doing a thing there, and I don't know how that's going to work, because my usual go-to man for the WTF live panel, Aaron, is skipping out this year. And I've decided to just take that. I mean, there's plenty of people who have also been on the panel who are there, but I've decided to characterize the scenario as I'm left to my own devices, so I'm going to try to make it a stupider panel than it was last time. And I don't really know what I'll do in that regard.
Stupider than Chicago?
Yeah. Well, that's stupider than the last Toronto one.
Okay.
Just Chicago's going to be hard. That's untoppable. But, I mean, definitely, I'm going to try to get the thing streamed. I'm going to try to get the text chat for the stream projected on a giant screen next to me, because I think that's kind of funny, because I can't read it. So people who are sitting there just start laughing at stuff, and I don't understand why. Get some people up to ask, not ask questions. I just want to have a mic set up to have conversations with people in the audience. And yeah, I don't know. Maybe we'll terrify poor Malwave again somehow. I don't even need to engage in that. He just seems to be scared when he shows up to the panel. It'll be a good time. But until then, we'll talk to you later. Take it easy.
Bye.
It means, but you got some badass perpetrators that are here to stay.